Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are live, my friends. It is Tuesday, the 22nd day of September, 2011. Former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura will be joining us coming up in the second hour today with a lot of breaking news and interesting information. He'll also give us the latest on the upcoming season of Conspiracy Theory. And also some interesting stories. I was talking to him yesterday while his wife answered the phone, Terry. He was telling me a story. Well, she was telling me. She said, yeah, he's in the workout room on his elliptical, and the German Shepherd is on the treadmill. They like to watch sports together. And I was talking to Jesse, and he was like, yeah, it's true. The dog's so smart. He did it on his own. He figured out it was a treadmill, and he asked to be on it. So now we work out together. I tell you, that's just an amazing story. But I'll get him to tell it himself. Just interesting little funny things like that. Jesse Ventura coming up in the second hour today. Now, I am going to attempt to be calm about this news, but it has a lot of ramifications. And when I saw this last night, when Rob and Aaron brought it to my attention, I went and did a search, and indeed my worst fears were correct. All over the country, there are federal grants, because they pay the schools money depending on how many people they vaccinate. They have quotas that they're going door to door and intimidating people and implying it's the law. Hey, we need you to comply. Your child's got to have a shot to be in school. And they're even going to homeschoolers' houses now and saying, hey, you need to vaccinate. And they're trying to imply that it's the law, especially in Mississippi and West Virginia. And this is all about getting you ready for forced inoculation and the Model States Health Emergency Powers Act. This is very, very frightening. I want to go ahead and just play part of this newscast now. We're going to come back and get more into it than all the other news, from solar flares set to hit the planet today to AP labeled racist for accurately transcribing Obama's speech, to Bloomberg reporting what we already knew. Fukushima is the worst nuclear disaster in history. Of course, we knew that a week into it, the isotope readings. But, hey, our EPA just raised the radiation levels. So now they say if you eat a gallon of, I guess, cyanide, it's okay for you. Of course, it'll kill you, but why don't they just raise what they say is safe and then it'll magically be okay? I mean, they say buildings fall from small fires now. Let's go ahead and go to part of this newscast. Yeah, it's funny. Last night I actually found one that didn't have all of this on it, and specifically asked the guys.
Make sure every student is vaccinated in Natomas. School officials went door to door with a nurse offering the Tdap vaccine to meet a new state mandate. News 10's Natalie Sens tagged along and has our story.
Hello, how are you, ma'am? My name's Heyman Matlock. I'm with the Natomas Unified School District.
It's not easy going door to door making sure students are vaccinated.
Your daughter is on independent study.
Yes.
Kayla, has she been verified with her Tdap?
No.
Okay. We were coming today to give her a Tdap if she hasn't had it done yet.
Get the off my house.
Hey, Miss Matlock, dealing with a lot of sticky situations. Despite weeks of free clinics and warnings, some Natomas kids still have not received a shot for whooping cough.
There could be some family dynamics where they're having hardships in the home, and this isn't the top priority in them making it day to day.
Hello, this is Heyman Matlock with Natomas Unified School District.
He has a list of more than 40 left to get vaccinated. So, with a traveling nurse on hand, district officials are now left to track down kids who may be falling through the cracks.
There are a number of kids that we're finding out in our home visit today that are truant. They aren't in school, so this is also giving us.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
It is Tuesday, the 27th day of September 2011. Going to be live here for at least the next 3 hours. Simulcasting on your local AM and FM stations, Global Shortwave, XM Satellite, number one when it comes to free audio streams at Infowars.com. And, of course, in streaming five-camera video shoot at PrisonPlanet.tv if you'd like to see a whole other dimension to this transmission. Okay, Jesse Ventura is going to be joining us. You remember when he filed his suit a few months ago, he had told me that he wanted to come on here and break the news of what his response was going to be if they threw his suit out of court. Pretty dramatic announcement that he hinted at that he would be making here. And then people said, well, where's Jesse Ventura? Well, the court, this is the longest this court has ever taken to rule on a pretrial motion to dismiss that the feds have brought forward. And the judge has got to rule by November, by mid-November. So Ventura will be back with us to make that announcement either way, whether the suit's going forward or whether it's not going forward. Also, he's made good on his promise to not fly anymore. He's got a RV and is driving around the country for his TV show, Conspiracy Theory. So Jesse will be joining us to talk about Ron Paul, the 2012 election, and he's got some interesting political announcements he's going to be making, because when he called me last week just to check in and say hi, I said, well, hey, you know, why don't you go ahead and come on anyways, even though you don't have information on the TSA situation. So he said, sure, because he's got a lot of other stuff to talk about. So Jesse will be joining us coming up today. And it's also good because he's not doing any media right now. You know, he does media kind of in these cycles when a book's out or the TV show's out or something's going on. But this is this will be a interview here in a doldrum when he hadn't been doing any interviews for the last few months. So it should be informative with former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura today. Okay, you know, the Sun in the last decade first was very active, then was inactive for a while, and now it's the most active in the recorded history. There's only a few hundred years that they've been accurately able to really measure the amount of radiation coming off. One of the first high-tech things European scientists were able to do was measure sunspots and other things. And it's the busiest it's been in recorded modern history. And the Daily Mail and others are reporting the day the world went kaput, Earth in crosshairs of gigantic solar storm that could blow circuits of anything from satellite TV to electric power grids. Just a month ago, they had power out in areas of Arizona and California due to a solar storm that hit the Earth. Now, it only takes light, as you know, a few minutes to get here from the sun, but it takes these solar storms that move a lot quicker, a lot longer, and it's set to hit later in the day. A sunspot 62,000 miles across, so big it would dwarf the Earth, is releasing gigantic solar flares that could wreak havoc with electrical communications ranging from handheld electronics such as iPhones to sections of the power grid. NASA has detected two X-class solar eruptions from 1302, the most extreme in the past week. One that occurred September 24th, produced an amazing light show over England last night, but as far from over as the sunspot isn't yet directly aligned with the Earth. The Earth now, today and tomorrow, comes into alignment with the coronal mass ejection. Giant flamethrower shooting out from the sun. Looking at it eye on, it looks black because it's cooler than the actual sun, because it's being released into deep space. And so basically a flamethrower is shooting out like a clock as the sun turns towards the Earth, and the Earth is coming in to that flamethrower. But we're not getting the flame. It since dissipates before it even gets out to Mercury. There's all that radiation ionizing different types of radiation. That is coming at us. NASA experts have said anything electrical can be affected by such activity. And again, we can show folks a document cam shot of these. These are gigantic. It's actually three sunspots lined up. Hot stuff, the behemoth sunspot 1302 has been unleashing huge solar flares. Astronomer Dr. Ian Griffin, CEO of Science Oxford, told Mail Online, active region 1302 is the source of all of these auroras seen yesterday and may well be the source of some more auroras over the next few nights. That means it's charging up the atmosphere. Space weather forecasters estimate a 40% chance of more flares in the next 24 hours. Any such eruptions would be Earth-directed as the sunspot crosses the center of the solar disk. In short, with no moon in the sky and an active region of the sun, the next few nights may be very interesting for sky watchers, especially people towards the northern hemisphere. There is some danger, too, that the solar activity will disrupt communication systems, especially in upper latitudes, such as northern Canada and Scandinavia. A sunspot occurs when strong magnetic fields of the sun reach the surface, cool down, according to NASA. Large ones can be seen clearly through telescopes and powerful cameras. You know, my whole point with this is, my whole point here is that it's like the Iron Maiden song, Die With Your Boots On. You got all these prophets of doom and destruction who want to tell you that it's man-made or that our carbon dioxide is going to kill us. But they're not ever really worried about the asteroids or the solar flares or other things. And the fact is, this planet is out in deep space. There's all sorts of stuff drifting in and around us. We get hit by things all the time. Ever been out to the big crater in Arizona? In fact, let's pull that up for folks. Giant crater in Arizona. We'll pull it up. That's small compared to what it reportedly they believe killed the dinosaurs. And now they know these things are hitting the Earth every 100,000 years or so. They're not hitting every million or so like scientists had previously thought. Now that they have all these telescopes and other systems, radio telescopes, you name it, they're able to see big asteroids, meteorites hitting other planets, hitting moons, hitting Jupiter, hitting Saturn with much more frequency. They've done the mathematical algorithms. That's why we don't know the truth about human civilization. All we have is dingbat preachers' interpretations of the Bible and basically Masonic groups that wanted to discredit Christianity in the last 200 years that would misinterpret the Bible to make it look nonsensical and non-scientific to create a false debate. But you know, there's the giant crater in Arizona. I forget the name of that. What is it, Crater Monument? I forget exactly what they call it. I know it's like a state or national park. I forget. I've been there. I've been there as a child and hiked down into it. Amazing. In fact, that's somewhere I want to take my children to see the incredible things that are going on out west. Okay, I tend to get on air here, especially when I have read news that really gets me upset. And I tend to procrastinate getting to it. A, there is a well-orchestrated hoax going on with the controlled dinosaur corporate whore medium to raise taxes on what's left of the middle class that are the main producers and consumers in the real Main Street grassroots economy. The Wall Street anti-reality crony criminals that are openly anti-free market and anti-family and anti-industry for the West have publicly been financing the controlled left and pushing the hoax on every news show I tune into. This week on ABC, you name it. Warren Buffett everywhere for 2 years saying, I'm rich, raise taxes on me, I'm exempt from taxes, it's wrong. And then when you go see the taxes he's supporting, it's a tax increase on people making $125,000 a year individually, or $250,000 man and woman as a couple. That is not rich, the devalued dollar. That is middle class. And if they keep devaluing the dollar, it'll be lower middle class soon. And if you, and I've done reports on this, but if you go look up Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, and others, they lobbied the last 15 years to get the tax laws changed to make themselves exempt. And that's why Microsoft pays almost no taxes, General Electric, Berkshire Hathaway, you know, Warren Buffett's outfit, all of them, Google, the list goes on and on. And because they know people aren't sophisticated because they're not paying attention, they go, isn't it wrong that we're paying no taxes? And then individually, they're paying almost no taxes. Individually, Warren Buffett says he pays 12% taxes, and I've looked it up. That's true. His corporation's nothing. And he has foreign subsidiaries and private foundations that pay zero. But the bait and switch here is that he's not talking about getting rid of that or the tens of trillions that are offshore and exempt. In fact, he's trying to make a deal, and other elitists are right now, to bring that money back basically tax-free. That's been in the news. And they hold us hostage. They say, well, we won't bring back these trillions unless you make them tax-free, while lecturing all day. But I saw a Chicago Tribune article last week about property taxes up, home values down. And it's forcing people out of their houses, which is what the system wants. They want to nationalize housing. You'll still have a few corporations that make the money off of it, but it'll be government managed and taxpayer backed. And I saw another article out of Illinois today where they're raising scores of taxes, knowing it'll destroy the economy. So I thought I'd get into that. And then they've begun the move for forced inoculation door to door. And I'm so angry about this that I'm not going to get angry. And I'm not going to get angry because I don't have the energy or the voice for it. And I'm going to come back and break this down. Stay. Okay, I want to calmly go through the facts. Even if you are for inoculation and you think it's the greatest thing since sliced bread, let's all be honest with ourselves that the government and the mainstream media lie at the start of the school year each year on radio, TV, and print and say it's the law, you must take this growing list of vaccines. And it's not true. And Rick Perry came out 4 years ago and said, it's the law, you must take this shot. And when he got caught lying, the legislature came out and said, there's no law. And so Perry tried to get a law passed and failed. Now, California has passed the law, but it's not signed yet. It's passed the House and Senate. It's on Governor Brown's desk, making it the law that they will shoot your children up at school without telling you. And we confirmed back during the swine flu, H1N1 hoax, 2 years ago. And we played newscast where in Alabama and other areas, they shot kids up whose parents had said, don't shoot them up. And then people said, well, the seven-year-old wanted it. Well, a minor, you can't say, here, minor, you want some drugs, you want some Jack Daniels? You can't because a minor, you know, wants to go in a topless bar, take one in, because they're a minor. It's illegal. And so basically, they try to intimidate parents and tell them it's the law to take shots. What we've confirmed is in California and other areas, they're telling kids that it's already the law and shooting them up in the nurse's office. And we're getting contacted by families in Canada and other areas that their daughters are shot up at school and then get sick. We've already had a lot of deaths from Gardasil and illnesses. So what's going to happen all over the country as they shoot the kids up at school after showing them a film and then ordering them to, basically? Again, it's all about intimidation. It's all about twisting of arms. What's going to happen? Now, remember, there are more than 50 vaccines that by the age of 2, government is trying to claim are the law you got to take when it's not a law. Think about how criminal that is, how creepy that is, that they're lying to you. It's like somebody coming to your door and saying, it's the law, you've got to buy a magazine subscription from me. or it's the law, you've got to answer my questions, or it's the law. Well, that's what the census is doing now. Now they have yearly census. And they come to your house and say, oh, it's not every 10 years now, it's yearly. You've got to answer all these questions. There's no law. You have a Fifth Amendment. They're just doing it. So it's all color of law power grab. Now, that leads me to this next report. And of course, it's out of California. News 10. Natomas, California. It says school officials, everybody's an official, not servants, are going door to door with a traveling nurse to give whooping cough shots to unvaccinated students. Don't wait. If you're above the age of 3, whooping cough is no big deal. And of course, most of the formulas are more than half corn syrup, and they've have studies out that it's an autoimmune issue. The kids are run down. If a baby's healthy and getting regular mother's milk, it's very rare that they don't deal with whooping cough very easily. But they fearmonger and push these shots. And I've seen statistics in California, especially in the highly educated places, where upwards of 70% are unvaccinated. And so they're saying there's going to be a whooping cough epidemic. I've heard Dr. Dina Dell go on air and say, the people should be arrested that aren't taking shots because then they're going to get all of us sick. Well, wait a minute. If you've had all the vaccines, then you're safe and we're idiots. It's all about freedom, you see. But once they socialize healthcare, they can claim, well, I'm going to have to pay for you. The truth is, and we've covered the studies here, people that are unvaccinated are much healthier per capita than those that are vaccinated. And it's not that I don't even think that there isn't some truth to inoculation science. It's that you can't trust these drug companies who've been caught over and over again adding cancer viruses, adding sterilants. We've covered the news, but just type in cancer viruses and vaccines. You'll get New Scientist, AP. Try UN caught sterilizing women with vaccines. You'll get mainstream news. UN caught giving children live polio shots, deaths. Every year it happens. It's not an accident. A government that's done all this atomic, chemical, biological testing on our own troops, killing them in many cases, cannot be trusted with these big vaccine companies to mandate this. So there's a hoax. It's not the law. Now, when we come back, I'm going to play part of this newscast. The whole thing's up at InfoWars.com. Door-to-door vaccinations, training the public for forced inoculations. Wait until you hear and see this video. If you're a radio listener, just go to InfoWars.com and go to the featured news archive. It's already scrolled off the front page. Door-to-door vaccinations, training the public for forced inoculations. But you'll hear the audio, and if you're a PrisonPlanet.tv viewer, see it when we come back. We are back, my friends. Okay, so this article is very, very important. I'm going to do a special report on it tonight on television at InfoWars Nightly News, 7 o'clock Central. That's 8 p.m. Eastern. But here's my comment at InfoWars.com. Door-to-door vaccinations, training the public for forced inoculations. This outrageous video shows the intimidation tactics of the system being ramped up to once again trick parents into vaccine compliance with the hoax that vaccinations are required. And in fact, Rob New was in here asking me about this right before the show. I need to start getting him to dig it out. What, it was like 5 years ago? It was 5 years ago that I had the state attorney on from Maryland, and it was a big national story. Children forcibly inoculated in Maryland was the headline. And they had all these people on national TV, Good Morning America, you name it, saying it's wrong these children have to take these shots. And it showed the families crying, more than 2,000 children and their parents being herded into a parking lot and into a state courthouse to be given the shots. They're in Baltimore. And even the people fighting it, all over CNN, Good Morning America, you name it. And I would get some of these activist groups on and say, what's wrong with you? They would say, it's wrong that it's the law they have to take this. It's wrong. These vaccines are dangerous. And that's why the mainstream media was happy to have them on, because it played into the hoax. It was not the stinking law. And I had listeners that were there on the ground when it happened that shot video. We interviewed them live on the air. And it was police dogs, SWAT teams, because of radicals that were against what was happening, and kids crying, being lined up, and being given shots. And I had the state attorney on. I've got to dig that interview out. About 5 years ago. And I said, sir, you know it's not the law in Maryland. And I read to him the code, and he laughed, and he said, you're right, Alex. I forget his name. He was like a tall, handsome, bald-headed black guy. And he said, state attorney, he said, you're right, Alex, I don't vaccinate my kids, and started laughing at me. And I said, you know, it's not funny that you know the law and got up there and played along and didn't tell people it wasn't the law. And I said, I know what you're doing. You're threatening to kick them out of school because it's a policy, just like zero tolerance is, to say you've got to have the shots but not a law. Then you trigger a truancy law and you put a few people in jail. And he goes, Alex, you're real smart. You ought to be a lawyer. Oh, well, we see it's all real funny that that guy had to shoot his kids up. But he gets up there on CNN and says, you've got to get the shots or you're going to go to jail. You see, that's this weird mind game with these people. That it's like they're winners because they can lie to people and watch people go off the edge of a cliff. I've had enough of it. I mean, that's like saying, well, I could lead a two-year-old out into traffic and watch him walk out in front of a truck. Boy, I'm a big man. It makes my head really, really spin to watch all of this happen. So continuing, this outrageous video shows the intimidation tactics of the system being ramped up to once again trick parents into vaccine compliance with the hoax that vaccinations are required when there has been a waiver as well as a natural right allowing parents to opt out. Now, by going door to door, the system is tiptoeing, how about stampeding, towards coercive vaccinations, while the media lapdog readily portrays these parents as negligent and the students as truant, when the student in the video was evidently enrolled in some sort of independent study. They call it that now for homeschooling. Will CPS next travel in tandem with the school officer and the traveling doctor? That's already happening. Alex Jones will cover this and other aspects of the deceptive and harmful story in a special report tomorrow. Tune in to the InfoWars Nightly News for more. And then here's the article. We'll play the video in a moment. Natomas school officials, not servants, are going door to door with a traveling nurse to give whooping cough shots to unvaccinated students. A new state law requires students entering 7th through 12th grades to get vaccinated against the diseases by the start of the 2012-2011 school year. Notice they don't give the law. That's not true either. I've checked. They've got a new law to ask the kids if they want to do it without parental consent, and then basically intimidate them into it. Because if a lot of parents that say it's the law, you're not going to do it with the kids. I mean, you know they're doing it with them. The legislature gave districts 30 days beyond the start of the school year to make sure all students were vaccinated or had a formal exemption filed by their parents or guardians. But see, they don't say at the door that there's an exemption. And there's no law, you've got to do the exemption. As the deadline passes, thousands of students remain unvaccinated. Many school districts have been defying state law and allowing them on campus. Because it's not state law, liars. Okay, let's go ahead and go to this incredible newscast. Now again, they have already passed the law. It's on the governor's desk to, quote, let children in the single digits, age-wise, decide if they want a shot. A child can't decide if they want to go to the planetarium. You've got to sign the waiver. They can't decide if they want to go to the Wild West days. You've got to sign a waiver, or to the zoo, or to the history museum. But in many states, they take children as young as 10 to have abortions without mommy and daddy knowing. This is medical tyranny. Because the state intimidates them and tells them to do it. And now it's going to be shots. Remember 2 years ago, the California court ruled that the government is the guardian and parents aren't guardians of their children, period, and that homeschooling was illegal? Now, it got overturned by a higher federal court at a federal level. But just like it's being overturned everywhere when you go to jail or get charged with life in prison for videotaping cops in public. The point is they're trying to put you in jail for life for videotaping in public when they know full well it's not illegal and the statute doesn't say that. The point is they're trying to take, in fact, I see it with poor, ignorant families. They call it neglect. The judge rules it's neglect. And they take children every day. They take millions of children a year. So they're taking children every day because they're not vaccinated. There is no law, but they do it. And they get the parents in all scared. And the judge says, all right, if you sign all these forms and admit to guilt and negligence and basically sign private corporate probation with me, and we'll let the children go into foster care for a month and you might get them back. Or they might even say, we'll give them back to you, but then we're going to have to watch. And then now you're in their system. Now you're going to their psychiatrist hired by them. Now they're in your house. Now they find something else. Boom, the kids are gone forever. Terminate parental rights. In fact, I played it years ago. We ought to dig it out. A CBS newscaster locally with Judge Jean Mear that they named the juvenile justice system after. She looks just like Janet Napolitano. Same spirit. And it showed her in portable buildings in schools all over Austin. Every day she's at a new one. They call the parents in and they say, Billy has been late to class three times. That is a truancy. I'm going to put you in juvenile hall for a month unless your father agrees to sign this. Now, the father says, yes, ma'am, on the news, and signs the form. The judge had no authority. The state truancy law at that time, I don't know what it is now, was 14 unexcused absences in a semester. The statute is 14. They were counting three times being late because the parents got them there late. They were counting three times late as a truancy and saying you're going to go to jail and then having the dad sign an agreement that in the next semester his child would not be late to class one time or the child goes to jail. It's all fraud, and that judge sits there like a hardcore criminal con artist. I'm on the radio here locally. Sue me, Mear. I know the law. I know you're a big, fat criminal, and I'll call you one because you are one, and truth is a total defense. You get people in there and trick them into signing paperwork, waiving their rights to pack the giant criminal justice systems you built, not to teach kids discipline, but to take young little fourth graders like that kid I saw on TV and send them to a juvenile hall where they get raped, where they get beat up, and where they learn how to be criminals. You know what happens? You know what happens to most kids when gangs start beating them up? They join the gang. These schools and these juvenile systems are factories for crime. Now let's go to this wicked, fraudulent newscast. This wicked, 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 wicked hoax. Here it is.
Up in the news, drastic measures to make sure every student is vaccinated in Natomas. School officials went door to door with a nurse offering the Tdap vaccine to meet a new state mandate. News 10's Natalie Sens tagged along and has our story.
Hello, how are you, ma'am? My name's Heyman Matlock. I'm with the Natomas Unified School District.
It's not easy going door to door making sure students are vaccinated.
Your daughter is on independent study.
Yes.
Kayla, has she been verified with her Tdap?
No.
Okay. We were coming today to give her a Tdap if she hasn't had it done yet.
Get the off my house.
Hamus Matlock dealing with a lot of sticky situations. Despite weeks of free clinics and warnings, some Natomas kids still have not received a shot for whooping cough.
There could be some family dynamics where they're having hardships in the home, and this isn't the top priority in them making it day to day.
Hello, this is Heyman Matlock with Natomas Unified School District.
He has a list of more than 40 left to get vaccinated. So, with a traveling nurse on hand, district officials are now left to track down kids who may be falling through the cracks.
There are a number of kids that we're finding out in our home visit today that are truant. They aren't in school, so this also gives us an opportunity to find out where those kids are that have truancy issues.
All right. Truant kids.
Stop right there. This is always the handbook scam. As I've told you for 16 years on air, because I've been involved in the cases, I've gone to the juvenile court hearings. I fought this. It's something I had to pull out of because I can't physically go into these courts anymore, because watching the judges, the cops, to watch the fraud, the crying parents, physically was giving me an ulcer. Watching children be abused is one thing I can't handle. And it really gets, I mean, you think I get in a rage on air, ladies and gentlemen. The time I opened that door at the hospital room and the cop was choking the woman, trying to make her sign documents to hand over the baby they were going to sell for $300,000, $400,000, little blonde-haired, blue-eyed baby, I didn't do anything to the cop, and I went outside and collapsed crying for about an hour. But watching a man attack a woman, I was just like, zzz, it was like, but I knew that I'd be set up, sent to prison, couldn't keep fighting him. So I was like Robbie the Robot, cannot compute, danger, Will Robinson, danger, you know, zzz, smoke coming out my ears. I mean, I just can't. And these cops love it. The judges get off on the pain. It's like psychic vampires feeding hard, and I just can't look at it. I cannot enter a vampire pit. I can sit up here far away from them and attack them and talk about them, but I cannot get near them. And it's not because of a cowardice either. It's because I want to pull a Samson on them with a jawbone. Now, again, we got to beat these people. Just like they have DynCorp, admittedly being the number one CPS group, they have private contractors. DynCorp runs child kidnapping rings worldwide. Don't believe me? Just search DynCorp white slavery. DynCorp child trafficking. In fact, just type it in for folks that are watching. They won't believe it. DynCorp sex trade, DynCorp child trafficking. You'll see BBC, AP, you name it. Now, you notice he kept saying, we're finding quite a few truancies as well. They mix that in there, saying the parents are criminal. And so what happens is they have a kind of an in-between homeschooling in many states like California. The parents say, you're not going to vaccinate my daughter. And because of that, they'll say, all right, well, we're going to do at-home schooling. So they just do their school there and then turn it in once a week. Because the parents don't know there's a waiver, they've been intimidated into, well, then I will pull my child out of school, or I will start homeschooling. So now they're coming to those houses saying, and you know, treating them like they're criminals, and then mixing the, quote, crime of truancy in with the inoculation. That's how they claim it's the law. When it's the school saying you can't be here, it's the law. When there's not a law, they kick you out, then trigger the cops, all consciously knowing it's a scam. In every school district, it's just a criminal culture of lying and hoaxing. Rick Perry did it. He said, it's the law, you got to take Gardasil. And we got up and said, no, it's not. And the legislature said, you know, there's not a law, Perry. He went, I mean, executive order. Well, give me a law then. Let's put that up, DynCorp child trafficking. And you notice Chicago Tribune was there on the list. You see Prison Planet, you see Wikipedia, you see Chicago Tribune right there, U.S. stalls on human trafficking. Yeah, I mean, I remember that Chicago Tribune. That's where the U.S. government and Congress said they're allowed to run kids. There's Catherine Austin Fitz exposing DynCorp CPS and trafficking. And then there's the DynCorp exposed for trafficking in women and children. That's congressional testimony. You might want to watch that. There's a bunch of pediatric websites. Cop Watch has it. So you better learn. This is a hardcore army of hardcore child kidnappers. Well, of course, who else would act like this? This is who they've recruited. And one of the few things I get big death threats over is DynCorp. They do not like me talking about this. Look, I'm sorry. If I am a coward and don't stand up to you, then the blood of these children is on my hands. You're flying out of the country. And I will not be part of it. You understand that? Justice will be served on you. The fires of hell are going to consume you. And you're not going to have to wait till you die to be in them. People are like, this guy's crazy. He's mad about our government openly feeding on our kids. No, it's you who have a spirit of weakness and who have capitulated to evil. And I will not be part of it. Ever. And you bet I'm angry. I don't like having to get up here and risk my life, but it's all I can do. Filth. Go back to the filthy TV show with them filthily lying and saying it's a law to take shots. Go back to the liars.
And negligent parents are put on notice. The Natomas district is going to extremes and putting up with extremes to keep kids from getting sick.
Get the
It's off my house.
Well, kids won't be allowed back to school Monday if they haven't been vaccinated. The district will continue door-to-door visits until everyone is vaccinated.
Till everybody's conned. Till everybody's scammed. Oh, God. I get mad and in a rage because of the abuse people are going through. But also because I'm sick of it. It's so obvious. It's so criminal. Just like last night I covered it. It's now come out and confirmed everything we said. Government admits it. They were directly shipping the guns to the Mexican cartel, Sinaloa, who they then let ship the drugs in. That was even on Fox News last night. I mean, the government is drug dealing murderers. We have...
We've got it.
This transmission is coming to you.
Think of the magnitude that I say DynCorp, child trafficking, and I can give you congressional videos, Chicago Tribune, Associated Press, BBC, London Telegraph, New York Daily News. I mean, I can pull up right now New York Daily News from 5 years ago. This is without looking. If I go look, I'll find more. Whatever I can imagine, it's there. Anything you can imagine the globalists doing it, they're doing it. Where they take little kids, especially in New York, and it's always the same. They tell the mother, we're going to take the two-year-old if you don't give us the seven-year-old. And they actually take them and chain them down and test pesticides and drugs on them until they die. And then CPS workers went, we're delivering kids to a big pharma facility and they're dying. I've been there. They're begging for their lives, chained down. Healthy kids, they're killing them. And the government came out and said, we're going to keep killing them. Just like Rumsfeld, Cynthia McKinney's up there bringing it up. Hey, DynCorp runs kids. And he just says, well, they're allowed to. And then I saw Bill O'Reilly last week. I saw a clip online. He said, the U.S. never bombed any country in the Middle East before 9/11. Then I saw a clip of him last night online. Where it might have been from the night before, but I saw it last night. Where O'Reilly was saying that, how dare Cynthia McKinney say that Kennedy was killed in a military coup? How dare this traitor to America say this overseas? I mean, how dare she think what 92% of Americans think in most polls? You see, it's not seen as polite to talk about these issues. You're just supposed to, well, the government's good. Oh, the government's red, white, and blue. No, the government is a collection of criminals that have come in and taken over our country and wrapped their tyranny in the American flag. And I've had enough of it. And I want it to stop. And our naivete has allowed this to get worse and worse and worse to the point of now they're coming to doors in California, Mississippi, West Virginia, other states saying it's the law to take shots when it's not. And I've had enough of it, ladies and gentlemen. I've had enough of these criminals. All you got to do is expose them and it's over. You know, the TSA wants to destroy air traffic in this country. That's why I talked to truck drivers. I've looked up the different travel agencies they admit, the groups that study it, that bus travel is up more than double the last 10 years. I was out on a road trip last week and just saw buses everywhere. I've talked to truck drivers and they say, oh yeah, you see a lot more buses now, people using buses, because they don't want to be groped. Well, the feds just say they're going to go to the bus stations now. So the feds want to destroy air travel and nationalize it, but they don't want to get the blame for it. They want to just quietly wreck it and wreck tourism. This mission accomplished when we lose $40 billion a year in tourists not coming here because it's such a police state. The globalists want a post-industrial America. They want to wreck it to make you dependent. They want you poor, so you're too busy trying to earn a living. They don't like uppity people. We need your help to defeat the globalists. We're reaching critical mass, and everybody knows it. And I am putting myself totally forward in the fight against tyrants. And when you financially support us, buying the books, the videos, the T-shirts, the ball caps at InfoWars.com, it makes this transmission possible. It makes everything we do here possible. I want to ask everybody out there, to become a PrisonPlanet.tv member. and to watch the show and to record it and get it out to people. Because you are our partners in this fight against the globalists. You are standing right beside us when you are a supporter of the InfoWar. Whether you spread the word about the show, or whether you buy the DVDs and make copies, or whether you buy a bunch of PrisonPlanet.tv memberships and give them to people, all of it is getting the hardcore message of truth out. I will not compromise when it comes to the truth. I will tell it like it is. And it's a testament to the power of the truth that we are kicking globalists hind in. Jesse Ventura coming up.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, he is certainly an icon of TV, movies, politics, a true dark horse maverick, former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura, host of the hit TV show on True TV, Conspiracy Theory, going into its third season. Number one New York Times bestseller over and over again. His latest book, 63 Documents the Government Doesn't Want You to Read. He's got a new book coming out soon as well. The prolific Jesse Ventura joins us for the next hour. And he told me some pretty hardcore stuff yesterday, but said I couldn't talk about it. Today, he said, I might want to talk about it. He'll make the decision. We'll talk about it later in the hour if he wants to. Governor, good to have you here with us.
Great, Alex. Always a pleasure to be here. It's ugly, rainy weather today up in Minnesota, so that's why I agreed to do an hour with you, because I can't play golf.
You're something else.
Golf is the only thing that'll stop me from doing you, Alex.
I know. You're very, very nice, sir. Before we get into all the serious issues, now your wife, Terry, is so great. It was great seeing her out at your birthday party in Los Angeles. But yesterday I call up and I go, yeah, Jesse said call Monday to get him on this week. She said, oh, great. Well, he's on the elliptic and the dog's on the treadmill and they watch sports together. And I said, my God, that'd be the ultimate sports center video. And she goes, no, he'd get mad at me. And I said, no, I'm just joking. But you got to tell us about your dog and about the treadmill action.
Well, I always like to keep myself in shape. You know, I try to do that. I think it's even more important as you get older to continue to train and, you know, keep you physically in shape as much as you can. And so I try to work out light with weights in the morning, and then I do the elliptic machine after. And right now I do 6 miles at a pop on it, you know, which is pretty good. And, my dog, when I first started training, he loves to participate in anything that I do and wants to be around me or my wife constantly. And so he immediately looked like, what do I do during all this? And he got up on the treadmill and we turned it on with no training at all. And he now runs on the treadmill while I do the elliptic machine. And of course, I got a TV screen in there. And if The Young and the Restless is on, we watch that. If it's before that, we watch The Price is Right or we watch SportsCenter, depending on what time of the day it is. But, he trains with me every morning, and it's kind of nice to be able to do that. And even when the weather gets bad here in Minnesota, that's what's good about it. We can train indoors. So it's a good thing. And, you know, dogs will adapt to treadmills. I don't think, though, if they are allowed to be introduced to them in a good manner and not get frightened of them in any way, shape, or form, a dog will run on a treadmill, and it's a great way to keep them in shape. And, like, on days like today in Minnesota when it's raining out all day, saves you from having to go outside.
Well, especially a prized German Shepherd. Now he has a public name, and then he has his real name. But this is a well-trained German Shepherd, really smart.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, he's not a German Shepherd. He's a Belgian Malinois.
Okay, well, it looks like a German Shepherd to me. I'm ignorant.
Well, no, you're not ignorant. They look very much alike because years and years ago, the German Shepherd, I believe, came out of the Belgian Malinois. He is just called a Belgian Shepherd. You have a German Shepherd and a Belgian Shepherd, and they're slightly different. The Belgian's a little bit smaller, doesn't get the hip displacement problems because your German Shepherds are big. You know, they get 90 to 110 pounds or more. And any dog that gets that big is going to have the problem of the hip displacement stuff or run the risk of it. Not saying they all will, but they run a greater risk, where the Belgian Shepherd is about between 70 and 80 pounds. And that 20 pounds difference can make all the difference, apparently, between the hip trouble, you know. And then, of course, a lot of it could be hereditary, too.
Is Dexter looking up at you right now, Governor?
No, he's upstairs sleeping. He did his treadmill this morning, so along with me, so now he's taking a break while I talk to you.
So, how many miles did the Belgian Shepherd do?
Oh, I usually put him on there for about a half hour to 45 minutes. You know, I don't keep track of the miles. I just set it at a particular pace and let him go for 30 to 45 minutes and give him good exercise.
Incredible. Wow. All right, Governor, stay there. We're coming back to the full audience. We're going to get into a host of issues, election 2012, the TSA, and more with Jesse Ventura.
Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Okay, former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura is our guest, New York Times bestselling author, I don't know, four or five times over. His latest book, by the way, is available at Infowars.com. 63 documents the government doesn't want you to read. He's got some new books coming out as well. We'll see if we can get him to talk about that. Third season of the hit TV show that I think has had a lot of courage. Conspiracy theory, getting into Rex 84, FEMA camps, the whole nine yards. We're going to talk to him about election 2012. He's got some breaking comments on that that he relayed to me yesterday that are certainly newsworthy. Also, we're going to be looking at the TSA as much as he can say about his lawsuit that the judge still hasn't ruled on. We're talking about a long period of time here. That's all coming up. But out of the gates first with Governor Ventura, some breaking news yesterday. And I've actually gotten some calls about this separately, but I couldn't confirm it. But I do see that there are some publications here that are talking about it. And the production company has told Ventura that it's true. So if it isn't true, it's an elaborate hoax. But Governor Ventura, you want to tell folks what's going on with the TV show?
Of our third season, and you know, we've settled on eight more conspiracies, some of them very bizarre. It's going to be an interesting year. We've changed personnel a little bit. We've brought on board my son, Tyrell, who will now be on camera. Last year, he was simply off camera and working behind the scenes as a producer. He's a good-looking kid and belongs in front of the camera. He hates it. He wants to be behind it. But like everybody, they may succeed at something that they don't generally isn't their first choice. But my son's coming on screen this year with me, along with Sean Stone, who is a very bright young man, a graduate of Princeton, and happens to be the son of Oliver Stone. So that can only spell trouble when you see Ventura's teaming up with Stones. And it can only be trouble for our government, because I'm a great admirer of Oliver Stone, and his son Sean is a chip off the old block. You know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. He's a brilliantly smart young man, and he's kind of introverted, and I'm going to attempt on the show to make him a little more extroverted by the time we're done. But what's happened, Alex, we're in production right now, and we were doing a very controversial show that involved a Dr. Fred Bell, who is the brother of the famous radio man Art Bell. And he did a controversial interview with me just a day or two ago, 3 days ago, whatever it was. And he's staying here in Minneapolis, and within 24 to 36 hours later, he's found dead in his hotel.
Now, I see some YouTube videos on this, so it's broken, and I see Godlike Productions talking about it, you know, asking if it's true. You say the production company believes it's true, and I know you've been investigating, and so well, we're still not 100% confirmed on this, but certainly it's out there now. I mean, Jesse, specifically, I know you probably don't want to get into what you were talking to him about, or perhaps you do, but we need to find out if this is true or not.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm going under the assumption that it is, because, like I said, I had a conference call with my production company out in Los Angeles yesterday, and they were all speaking that it absolutely positively that Dr. Fred Bell is indeed dead. Tragically, a very interesting man to talk to say the least. Very well-read man, an exceptionally educated man. He's a direct in-line descendant of Alexander Graham Bell. I didn't know if you knew that.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, he's a direct descendant of him. you know, and obviously with the same last name, Dr. Fred Bell. And, or at least that's what he told me, and I can only take him as a man of his word. He's very much and has been involved in many U.S. government operations, both as a consultant and who knows what else. And he told me some very interesting things that will be revealed on the show, which I'm not at liberty to reveal right now. But it is, if it's just a simply tragic circumstantial happening that he happened to do these controversial interviews with me, and then within 48 hours is dead, I don't know. I don't know if there's more to it. I can't make any statement that there is or isn't at this time. It may be just circumstance. It may have been just his time to go. I don't know. But in the words of Colonel L. Fletcher Prouty, who I now hold deeply to me all the time, Prouty said, nothing just happens. Everything is planned. And so that always rings in the back of my mind a little, Alex. But I don't want to put anything more into it. He may have just simply, that was his last day on Earth. I don't know.
Certainly, but I mean, good
to me. It just seems very strange that he would leave this planet after in less than 48 hours after doing an explosive interview with me.
You've told me the topic off air, and that's what makes it even more creepy, because I have seen a lot of strange things happen in and around that particular topic. But I guess we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. But Dr. Fred Bell, brother to Art Bell. You know, everyone knows him from, I believe, Coast to Coast, right?
Yes.
With Art Bell, probably one of the biggest radio shows in United States history. And Fred Bell was an exceptional, bright scientist type, extremely smart man. And some of the things he revealed me was his intimate dealings with the U.S. government on many, many highly top-secret type operations and top-secret type projects that were probably even way beyond what I was as a Navy SEAL. You know, I would be down, the Navy SEALs are down at the knuckle-dragger level. We're the ones that go out and physically do the jobs. Dr. Bell would be at a level where those are the brain trusts, the way up there that eventually can lead to some SEAL-type operation, certainly. But, he's up in the stratosphere beyond anything that I would have ever been even close to with my top-secret security clearance when I was in the Navy.
And we know there's a lot of other shadow stuff going on, like when you had just become governor and they called you down in the Capitol basement and there were 23 CIA agents.
Well, not really. I agreed to do it. They called it they listed it as a classroom thing. That's what it officially was called. And they asked if I would be participate in it. So it wasn't that sneaky Pete. I mean, I could have turned them down, Alex. It wasn't that I was required to, but it piqued my interest, and I thought this will be interesting.
Sure, but it goes to your point that I know you've made, that they look like your neighbor.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt. And there's a lot more to this story that, as it progresses, I don't want to say anything right now, Alex, of anything behind the scenes that I know. But I'll just say this. He told me some very provocative things that I think that I will have to go to the police with. Things that he told me in our interview off the air that I think that I will have to let the local police know what he had told me.
Wow. So, yeah, because yesterday when you told me about this, you said don't get into it. We're not going to talk about it. But then this morning, right before you came on, you said, you know what? I think I'm going to have to talk about this, and then we had to go live, so I think that's what you were alluding to, is that this is stuff you're not going to be able to keep quiet about.
Well, but my first obligation is to inform the authorities of what was said to me.
Yes.
And not the general public.
Yes, no, that makes sense.
Then after that point, we'll see what happens from there. But I do want to talk to them.
Well, this is certainly a big deal. Tyrell, I know, is having to come in from California to deal with this.
Yeah. And whether it's a big deal or not, we don't know. You know, it may be tragically that the man just died, Alex. It could be as simple as that, too.
Well, as bad as it is, let's hope for the lesser of two evils.
And as it progresses, I'll keep in touch and let you know.
Well, thank you, sir. Now,
sure.
Let's shift gears into speaking of Navy SEALs. When we first had you on last time, the whole Navy SEAL thing had just happened, and you did say it was suspicious to you. I have talked to the father of a Navy SEAL known by my family for about 18 years. And I mean, they, you know, I don't want to get too much into it and give it away, but I've seen the photos. I've had family that's met the Navy SEAL. He was friends with one of the people that was, in fact, let's skip this network break coming up. He was friends. Well, actually, I was told not to give too much away. The point is that the SEALs do believe, and I have this from another source as well, from the wife of a SEAL, but this is directly known by me, that they were put on that helicopter that blew up, that killed the 20-something SEALs, and that it was a National Guard helicopter, that they thought something was weird, that they never put that many on the same helicopter, and that they believe that a bomb was put on board. And then their only question is, did Al-Qaeda do it or was it the government? But they think there's foul play, and that some of the SEALs on there were not just in SEAL Team 6, they were all SEAL Team 6, but that they had been on the bin Laden raid.
Well, first of all, Alex, let me correct you on something. All the bin Laden raid SEALs were from SEAL Team 6.
No, I know. I'm talking about the helicopter that later...
Right. But all the SEALs that were on the bin Laden raid were from SEAL Team 6, and as I understand it, all the SEALs that were on this helicopter likewise were from SEAL Team 6.
Yes, sir. That's what I'm saying. And
but there were more. There were like 22 of them.
Yes.
And the question is, and I know where you're going with this because I've thought about it also. The question is, were the same SEALs that were on the bin Laden raid on this helicopter? And that, unfortunately, I don't know if we'll ever know because no one's even going to know who the bin Laden SEALs were.
Okay, I do know. This is what I'm telling you. And this is dangerous information. Okay. And again, this is directly...
Well, you're ahead of me because I don't know. You know, all I know is it's a speculation that I took was, oh boy, the 22 SEALs that went down in this helo, were they the bin Laden SEALs and would they have done that to shut them up?
Well, let's look at this from this perspective, Governor, and then I'm going to tell you what I was told and I want to get your expert opinion on this. And again, when I got you on as a guest, I hadn't even thought to bring this up, so it just popped in my head now, so I'm going back to the data, so it'll take me just a second to be exact here. What I was told through a wife of a SEAL, who was not in SEAL Team 6 but is currently serving, was that the SEALs got on the helicopter at the bin Laden raid, this is what witnesses all saw, and that it blew up and had some type of bomb on it. They didn't blow it up. And that they were killed, and that Pakistani military came and got the bodies and got the helicopter. That has since come out on Pakistani TV. And that was that big diplomatic row and fight with their governments. But that was just from this wife of a Navy SEAL. And I confirm she was who she said she was. But
let me interject something, though, Alex. SEAL Team 6 is so secretive, wives don't even know about it.
Well, I was going to go further, though. That's what I'm telling you.
Let me explain. I have a friend who was on SEAL Team 6, and his wife had no idea that he was.
Well,
that's
this one...
how secretive Team 6 is.
No, I understand.
Wives don't even know if their husbands are on that team. So I would be a bit skeptical of your information, you know, on that basis alone.
Well, listen, that's why I was saying I didn't go with that info because I couldn't confirm that. In this other case, this is a current SEAL who has a friend who is in SEAL Team 6. He was not in the helicopter, the second helicopter that went down. But that what he said is the SEALs are angry and think that either Al-Qaeda or somebody else set them up, put them on the National Guard helicopter, and that it was some type of assassination. So that's the info I have, and that is directly from the father of the Navy SEAL.
Okay, I can't comment on that really because I know nothing about that, but... I don't know. I guess all I can say is, Alex, in light of the stuff I do and the information I've gathered doing my TV show and the other things I've looked at, nothing is beyond... I don't put anything past anyone anymore. So I'm not going to say this could be true or couldn't be true, but I certainly wouldn't say that it's not so. I can't say that it very well could be. Who knows?
Let me ask you...
That's where I'm at now, Alex. I don't trust my government at all. I mean, I just happened the other morning to watch the movie on Pat Tillman again. And every time I watch that movie, and I recommend people, it's on Showtime now, I think, or whatever, called The Pat Tillman Story, I urge people to watch this and watch and see how despicable our government was in the death of Pat Tillman. And the worst part about it is the very end, when all these generals and big shots are brought in front of Congress, and they say, I can't recall, over 90 times. Over 90 times in their testimony. These guys obviously are suffering from bad cases of Alzheimer's. And I say that sarcastically, naturally. But at 90 sometimes, I watch the Pat Tillman Show, and I just fume with anger, the Pat Tillman Story. So I do not trust my government at all today. I don't trust a word that comes out of them. They're a major pack of liars. I don't think I can be any more blunt than that.
Oh, I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, take Private Lynch. Five of her team suddenly got killed when they came out and said that she wasn't the hero they said. It was a PR stunt to get women in frontline combat. And they did the fake raid that Jerry Bruckheimer directed via satellite on the hospital, where they said, hey, come get her. And the Iraqis had pulled out 2 days before, the Iraqi military. You have Pat Tillman basically being assassinated, the cover-up of that that you were just alluding to. But specifically, Governor Jesse Ventura, underwater demolition team, Navy SEAL, a whole nine yards, when you heard that members of SEAL Team 6, a part of the same unit, went down, the biggest one-day loss of life in the 10-year history of the Afghan War, and it just so happens to be the Navy SEALs, and as God is my witness, talking to the father of a Navy SEAL that my family's known for a long time, I'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
Says, yes, my son is good friends with somebody in six, and he told him that the whole team thinks that either Al-Qaeda put a bomb on it, but then they think it might be the government, because it was real weird how they were all put on this junky helicopter. They, you know, never use these National Guard helicopters, and they usually split them up, and they thought the whole thing was suspicious,
Remember this, Alex. That's the first thing you look for in conspiracy and government. I'll just state this. And I have no knowledge. What you're telling me, I can't add to it. I can't say you're right or wrong. But I will say this. In all of my dealings in doing conspiracy theory and writing my book and doing everything I've been doing in the last over decade now, the thing you always look for with government is when there's a violation of standard operating procedures. When government violates a procedure that they normally will or won't do, whatever it might be, and believe me, it's that way in the military, it's that way in regular government. Everything government does is done under standard operating procedures. When those are violated, that's your first sign that something isn't kosher. That's your first sign that you may have a cover-up, that you may have a conspiracy, if you want to call it that, whatever name you want to give to it. But the first thing you look for is a violation of standard operating procedures. So if your SEAL is giving you the information that they will put on a helicopter that they don't normally fly, and if things didn't seem normal and very out of sorts for what they were being asked to do, because let me put it to you this way, the SEALs today have unlimited money.
That's exactly what the father said.
We used to have to beg, borrow, and steal back in the Vietnam days because we weren't the number one unit then as far as guerrilla warfare, not in the guerrilla warfare community, but the focus of the general military back then was on conventional military. Today that focus has changed because conventional military today is obsolete. Today it's on small unit tactics and guerrilla warfare, which is the SEALs are the best. Also add in the Delta Force, who is very good, the Green Berets. The list goes on and on of the small unit guys and what they do. But so it seems strange to me that today, when the SEALs have unlimited money and resources at their disposal, that they would all of a sudden put them on a helicopter that isn't one of theirs. They all are working together with their helo pilots, their boat drivers. That all took place after the fiasco in the desert of the Iran hostage raid. You remember that one?
Sure, the Delta Force.
Everything got all screwed up. Well, that changed everything at that point. And it changed it to the better, to where they put the helo pilots, the boat drivers, are all under the same command, and they work with the teams every day.
Well, that's what I was going to say. That's exactly what the father was saying. I was just crystallizing it. But they said standard operating procedure wasn't followed. They used equipment they never used. They used a junky National Guard helicopter. The mission was weird. They asked him, why are we going out to this site? Then they said it was SEAL Team 6 that was involved in the bin Laden raid in Reuters. Then they said it wasn't. Then they said they were going to after Taliban in a rescue mission. Then it wasn't. That was the whole point, was the whole thing was a lie. And that, quote, and again, they couldn't believe their own government did it. So they said, it's as if Al-Qaeda was like, had a mole or something and had put a bomb on there.
Well, I think that's giving Al-Qaeda a lot more credit
sure.
than they deserve.
Sure, but the SEALs are then having to wonder, then, I mean, what happened?
You know, again, Alex, I can only state that I don't trust that my government officials at all today. Not one bit.
Let me ask you this. What did you think the minute you heard that helicopter blew up?
Well, naturally, it gutted me because it's my teammates. It's my people. You know, it doesn't matter if you're an underwater demolition guy from World War II or the most elite guy on SEAL Team 6 today. We are all one fraternity. We are an elite fraternity of very special men who go through the most difficult training in the world in hopes of being the best sailor we can be and defend our country. And so what happens to me when I hear that, I cry. Because when they die, a little bit of me dies. That's how tight we are. And it doesn't matter through generations. I'm class 58, and today they're up to class, I don't know, 290, to something or other way up there. I don't even know. But it doesn't matter. We are all brothers. And so when SEALs die, I cry. It hurts.
All right, Governor. Powerful information. Stay there. I want to get into 2012 election and more straight ahead. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. Former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura is our guest. In the time we have left in the rest of this hour, we'll get into the upcoming TV show with Sean Stone, who looks just like Oliver Stone and really smart guy. Of course, another great director in his own right and researcher, Tyrell Ventura, another chip off the old block. So certainly the next generation of tyranny fighters. With the show Conspiracy Theory. Jesse, when you get him on, never talks about his books, but I would add that you support Jesse and his work and our work when you get them from us. It's Jesse Ventura with Dick Russell. This is a great book. 63 documents the government doesn't want you to read. Available discounted at Infowars.com. And, of course, his last book, American Conspiracies, the one before this one with Dick Russell, is also excellent. Before he leaves us, we'll talk about some of the new books that are scheduled to be coming out as well. But Jesse, finishing up before we get into TSA, before we get into all these other subjects, during the break you were saying something a little more. A light bulb was going off from your underwater demolition Navy SEAL days about the 22 crammed on with 12 others on board that helicopter.
Well, the light bulb was, again, like we talked about, Alex, standard operating procedures, and generally a standard operating procedure, to the best of my knowledge in the SEALs, is it's one platoon per helo. And a platoon is 12 enlisted and two officers. So clearly, there was a violation of standard operating procedure right there. There were too many SEALs on board one specific helicopter. Normally, they would have divided that into two to three helos.
That is exactly what the father said his son, the Navy SEAL, said. And again, I know the family.
Sure. Well, then things haven't changed that much because I've been out for 40 years, you know, but it's still pretty much the same rules would apply, I would imagine.
Well, it's just incredible that the entire SOP was different, and then it just so happens to be SEAL Team 6. Again, the biggest one-day loss in troops.
Well, and I'll tell you the sad part about it being SEAL Team 6. These are all career men. You're not going to find a guy on SEAL Team 6 that's wet behind the ears and just left high school or college a year ago. These are all combat seasoned veterans, probably with 2 to 3 to 4 tours to Iraq and Afghanistan on regular SEAL teams. You know, and so SEAL Team 6 are guys that are have been specially selected to do that type of work. Not that all the SEALs are could potentially be qualified for SEAL Team 6, certainly. But 6 is basically made up of, you're not going to find many 22-year-olds, I don't believe, in Team 6. Most of the guys are going to be between probably 27, 32 years old.
And they've survived a lot of deadly missions.
Yeah, absolutely.
Only to be blown out of the sky to keep something secret. I mean, it's come out now that the Bin Laden thing, they had a fake Situation Room photo. They lied and said Obama was watching it. They lied and said they had live feeds. They lied,
well,
threw him in the water.
Let's take it all the way back, then. Let's take the lies to where they go back to, and that's George Bush and these whole wars to begin with.
Yes.
You know, let's not let him off the hook either, because he's the one that put us in these wars. He's the one. 9/11 happened on his watch. And so, to me, it goes back to Cheney, Bush, Rove, and that whole cast of characters even more so than Barack Obama.
Certainly. Look, I've exposed them, but at the end of the day, Barack Obama saying, I don't need Congress to launch an attack in Libya. Then
I agree. You know, don't get me wrong. I'm an equal despiser of both the Democrats and Republicans, but I like to keep people focused on that they shouldn't have just 1 or 2 year memories, that these memories need to go back at least a decade.
No, I agree with you. Shifting gears into another area, when I was talking to you the other day, you said, Alex, I'm like a honey badger. I just don't care anymore.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, Alex, it's my patriotism to this government is literally shredded. I don't have any anymore. To the government. To the government that runs this country, I have no more patriotism for them. And it's a sad thing to hear myself say that.
Well, it's been taken over.
But I have no loyalty to this government of the United States anymore. Because now, to the people of this country, that's different. To the country, it's like my T-shirt that I sell now, Alex. You get it on my website. It says, I love my country, not my government. And it's got Jesse Ventura written right on it, and I proudly wear that shirt. I love my country, not my government. And the government is made up of Democrats and Republicans. Both.
Well, Gov, let's get into the TSA before we get into 2012
sure.
Right now. You said that you're going to make a big announcement if the judge throws out your case without even letting it go to trial. I talked to you last week. You said that you were happy to talk, but it's just your lawyer and your opinion, but that it looks like the fact that she has waited so long that your lawyer thinks that might actually lean towards the fact that she's getting it ready to make sure that it does go to trial.
Well, we don't know. There's no way to judge, Alex. You can, when it comes to federal judges, throw everything out the window. They're all different. You can't, you know, you have thoughts that, well, they're taking a long time, so obviously she's studying the case real well. Well, you'd like to believe that, but it might just be maybe she went on vacation and hasn't got to it. I don't know. With federal judges, you have no idea. All I can state is this. Any case like this has been ruled upon faster than this one. This is the longest any judge has held on to a case right now. I can state that unequivocally because it's been over 2 months. I went into court, I believe it was July 22nd or 21st, something like that. It was a couple days after my birthday. That's why I had to get back to Minnesota from L.A., which I had to drive, of course, because I can't fly. And so I drove back to Minnesota and got back the night before I had to go into court. And so we went into court. It was like July 21st or something like that. Well, here we are already past September 21st, and there's no ruling yet. So it's been well over 60 days. Generally, rulings always happen within 90. I'd like to believe mine will also. And when she rules, we'll know. But you can't read anything into anything with the federal judge, Alex, because they're all different. But I just think that she hasn't thrown it out. That's the good thing.
Now, you're saying you're going to make a big announcement if they...
If it's thrown out, I will definitely call a press conference. Absolutely. If my case is thrown, if they will not let me go in front of a jury and have a trial over my Fourth Amendment constitutional rights, then I absolutely will have a press conference.
Well, I think that's important to do. And then also you said you'd pop in here after the press conference. But I hope the case goes forward, because if it doesn't, this country is in deep trouble.
I would think so, too. I mean, you know, although I have to tell you, there was a vicious letter to the editor up here in the St. Paul paper criticizing me for tangling up our court system with such a frivolous, stupid thing.
Well, Jesse, there's a reason nobody reads those rags anymore. They had a USA Today poll last week. 85% are against what the TSA is doing and don't want the NFL under Homeland Security pressure to start having private security grab your wife's breasts, your genitals. They say everything will be groped from the ankles up. What's your view of that, Governor?
It's already happening. It's already happening, Alex. I'm a season ticket holder with the Minnesota Lynx, you know, the women's basketball team.
Yes.
And two times in the last two games I've gone down there, they've stopped me to wand me. And the first one, the guy stopped me because I had my wallet and my keys in my front pocket. And he stopped me and said, "Excuse me, what's in your front pocket?" And I looked at the kid, and I said, "I'm the damn governor." I said, "Don't make me have to sue you like I'm suing TSA." I said, "What difference does it make? I used to be the governor here. You know, use some common sense, young man." And I chewed his ass out. I showed him, I said, "It's my wallet, my car keys." And then I got it again the last game. Well, technically, I guess they can do it because they're private industry.
Yeah, but now they're saying it's going to be in shopping malls with TSA, Governor. And to be clear, because you may have missed it, all NFL games, you're going to actually get the genital grope that you talk about in your lawsuit that I've witnessed you go under at the, and Ron Paul said it's happened to him at the Atlanta airport. I mean, they are saying now that they're going to grab the breast of your wife, everything. That's it. I'm not taking my wife and kids to a football game.
I would like to know how they expect to get the people in the stands by kickoff.
No, that's what they said last week. They said add 4 hours to get in. They're saying get there 4 hours early now.
I would just say this, if they do that, then I advocate a boycott of the National Football League and leave their stadiums empty.
Incredible.
You know, that's what this country needs to do to rise up. We, the people, have to start speaking back. And it can be done simply. How about a day of the year where nobody flies?
Yes.
I would love to see that happen.
Oh, yeah, we talked about that.
I would be a promoter of it.
Okay, then listen, we talked about this 6 months ago. We talked about it 2 months ago. Let's pick a date, Governor, right now, and let's announce the National No-Fly Day. What really scares them is the opt-out day. How about we, National No-Fly Day, National Opt-Out Week. Let's pick a peak time. Let's pick Thanksgiving, the week of Thanksgiving.
No, not enough time to promote it, Alex. I think that to do something like this, you need to go at least a year and let it build up.
Okay.
I would tell you, how about on our nation's birthday next year, the 4th of July?
Okay, that's a good day.
See, to me, that would be better because that way it gives it time to gain momentum.
Yeah, that way it's like 9 months. Okay, let's do it.
But I will all be for it. I mean, it's time for the people to stand up and tell these people that we're supposed to be a country of the people, by the people, and for the people. Not them. You know, right now, we're subservient to the government. Our forefathers did not have that in mind. That isn't what this country was supposed to be. The government was supposed to be subservient to us.
Well, Governor, you always make the point of you'd rather face the danger. I mean, you can't stop a killer at a school or a killer at a mall.
Let me tell you something, Alex. They're putting the people in danger at the airport. Can I explain why?
Sure.
All right, here's why. When I was in the teams, they taught us to think like our opponents, the enemy. If I were a suicide bomber, do you know where I'd go to blow up the most amount of people?
I'd go to the check-in line.
Exactly. You can walk right in from the outside. You can get in that line. There'll be at least 300 people because it S's in the whole floor. You wait till you get right in the middle. No one's checked you at that point. No one's done anything to you at that point. And you're in a crowd of 300 people. You then blow yourself up.
It's like if there's ever a killing in a cornfield, are they going to say we've got to have random TSA in cornfields because a rattlesnake killed somebody in one? This idea that...
Well, not even a rattlesnake. Let's say a terrorist gets somebody in the cornfield.
Yeah, so now every cornfield in the country has to have TSA.
Yeah, has to, and you got to be frisked before you're allowed to go out into the cornfield. You know? The point, and it begs the bigger question, Alex, which is this, and this is the part of my court case that begs the bigger question. Why is it the government's job to provide security for the airlines when the airlines are private sector businesses?
I agree with you. Well,
why not have the airlines provide their own security? That way, you as a customer, like myself, up here, it's Delta. Delta bought out Northwest. 90%, if I fly, my flights are going to be Delta. I could have a relationship, Governor Jesse Ventura, with Delta Airlines. I could walk out to the airport, show them my passport, and they wouldn't have to search me at all. Because they, as a private sector business, would know, gee, Jesse Ventura's been flying for 30 years.
Exactly.
Jesse Ventura poses no threat. Put him on the plane.
Well, it's about being guilty until proven innocent. It's this idea that we're going to put our hands on you. We're going to take blood at checkpoints without warrants under federal grants. Well, we're going to have the federal government everywhere.
Alex, I'll tell you what I see next. Here's what I see next. They're going to use illegal immigration to get us issued national ID cards.
I agree. Ron Paul's talked about that.
Oh, yeah. And then what's going to happen? Each state is going to say, well, we don't want these illegal immigrants in our state, so we're going to have checkpoints on all the highways that lead out into our state where you're going to have to show your national ID in which to come into our state.
No, I agree. It's dangerous.
Which totally, totally violates the Constitution. And if we, the people, get sucked in on this one, and if people sit back and say, oh, yeah, keep me safe. I mean, aren't they listening to Ben Franklin when Ben Franklin said the famous quote, those that give up liberty for security shall have and deserve neither?
Well, Governor, look at Mexico. They've got checkpoints down there, and they've got 40,000 dead in the last 3 years. Checkpoints.
That's right. And I go through those checkpoints all the time down there.
Yeah, checkpoints do not keep you safe.
No. Because what do you think? The criminal's going to go through the checkpoint?
No.
Christ. I mean, it's so stupid.
Well, the drug cartels just attacked the checkpoints. Now, we're running out of...
It's like, Alex, at the airports. To get on the tarmac, all you got to do is have a slide-through card. You know, like a credit card? You just slide it through a thing and you're out on the tarmac.
Well, listen, I certainly don't have the money for a private jet, but I've got friends who've got private jets. And Charlie Sheen's come to town and picked me up before. And you just pull right up and walk right through, no security, and I'm on the tarmac.
Yeah, exactly. It's a fraud.
It is a total fraud. Now, listen.
The whole thing is a total fraud. People better start waking up to it and stop sitting out there saying, oh, keep me safe. Protect me at the airport.
Wow, Jesse, so much good info we've talked about, so much common sense. What about Ron Paul? You know, I asked you on the phone, I said, Governor, are you going to run for president? Tell folks what you said.
Well, first of all, if Ron Paul would quit the damn Republican Party and run as a libertarian, that's what he is. He's not a Republican, he's a libertarian. The libertarians have ballot access in all 50 states. Ron Paul could be the libertarian's candidate for president. That's what needs to happen. Let's elect a president that isn't a Democrat or Republican. Then Ron Paul takes me as his running mate. Why? Because I'm the best insurance policy he could ever have. There ain't nobody going to kill Ron Paul and let Jesse Ventura in there.
That's a good point when you made that. Well, Jesse, listen, You know, I talked to Ron Paul privately the last time he ran in this time, and he said, I don't know if I'm going to run, Alex. And I said, look, you're as smart as I am or smarter, Congressman. You're going to win by injecting real issues, anti-war, all the rest of this stuff, pro-Constitution. You got to run. He said, that's a good point. I probably am. I am telling Ron Paul here on air, and I'm saying it to Ron Paul listeners and supporters to let him know this. And I know it's already been run past him. He has said he'll only run using the Republican machinery because he has a real shot at winning. But if he doesn't win the Republican primary, if he runs as a Libertarian candidate, he will get the nomination. He'll get a strong showing. He could get double digits and be in the pole position like Ross Perot was before Bush threatened him and he dropped out. And Ron Paul does have a chance to win, and you could join the ticket or you could be part of the cabinet if he offered it. But regardless, then he'd be in the main election challenging Obama and Mitt Romney or whoever else is there. Ron, I'm drafting Ron Paul. He must run as a Libertarian if he loses the Republican primary.
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly with that. And I'm telling you, if Ron Paul took me as a running mate, we wouldn't just do well, Alex. We could win.
I know. People love you.
That right from me, because I never enter races with the thought of just doing well. Jesse Ventura doesn't do things just to do them well. Jesse Ventura does things to win, to be the best. I didn't join the underwater demolition SEAL team, the most elite unit in the U.S. military, just to do something well.
No, I understand.
I did it because I like being the best.
But my point...
And Ron Paul can win. It's out there. All you've got to do is activate and get the silent voters out to vote.
Yeah, that 30, 40, 50% that calls themselves independent sitting out there.
The 50% that don't vote.
Yes.
You have to give them a reason to see their vote work.
It would create incredible excitement.
It would create unbelievable excitement if Ron Paul and I ran as the Libertarian ticket.
Well, Ron Paul's a great guy. He's got a lot of great people around him. He also has some mainline kind of Republican people so you're reaching out to Ron Paul right now?
No, I'm just saying I would be his best choice because I'd be a great insurance policy, Alex.
Yes, sir.
They're not going to do anything to him, and that would put me in charge. I think they're far better off with Ron Paul than they are Jesse Ventura as far as somebody who, you know, would cause them major problems.
Well, just incredible information, Gov. But I want to be clear where I stand from. I don't do this radio show because I think we'll do well. I know we're going to beat tyranny. We don't have a choice. I was just being clear that by competing, by being involved, by going all the way and staying in the election all the way through, even as an independent, you win just by being involved and injecting real ideas. You know, to use a sports analogy, you go to the playoffs. Sure, he can win the Super Bowl as well. Obviously, play to win. I'm just saying you win by competing. You never win if you don't.
Absolutely. And maybe what you do, Alex, if you don't win this time, you lay the groundwork for the next guy to win.
Exactly.
No, I understand that. It's a process that takes a while. I could never have been governor of Minnesota without the runs that Dean Barkley did before me. Because Dean Barkley was the man that got my party major party status in the state of Minnesota.
Yes.
And it took Dean Barkley to do that first before I ever would have had. If Dean hadn't have done that, there's no way that I would have won governor because I wouldn't have had major party status and I wouldn't have been included in the debates.
Exactly. There are trailblazers that come before us and then each of us is a trailblazer for the next.
Precisely. Precisely. So that's what needs to happen. Ron Paul needs to quit the Republican Party, get the nomination to the Libertarian Party, but he's got to. It has to be the Libertarian small L.
Well, I did hear a little bird that may be why. In fact, there's no maybe about it. He is probably. I'm not going to say anything. Ron Paul is looking at what you're saying. I know that. Okay.
Well, I hope so. I really hope so because Ron has the power, and I think if the two of us, and I guarantee you that as I walk around today, you can't believe all the people that come up to me and ask me to run for president.
Well, I want to talk more about that, but let me just tell you, Ron Paul's announced he's not running again for the House, so he'll be out in a year regardless. And the word is he is positioning to say when he quits the Republican Party that, hey, I'm serving out my term. I'm done. I'm leaving the party. And that he'd have to do that because he probably couldn't win that House seat later without the Republican engine. And sure. that it is positioning for that. So I know Paul's looking at it. We need to make sure he knows he doesn't have a choice. Destiny and history has drafted him. And as you said, Governor, a lot of people, look, I know you personally. I know you behind the scenes. You are the real McCoy. That's why I admire you. You are a real person. You believe in what you believe in. And that's the end of it. You're not some puppet on a string. Neither is Ron Paul. And Dennis Kucinich is a great guy, but he's not as libertarian as you guys are. And he said he might put Kucinich in his cabinet. Would you look at being in a Ron Paul cabinet if he won?
I don't know. You know, it would depend on could I leave the Baja. In fact, Alex, if I was his VP guy, could we move the VP down to the Baja? No, because, I mean, the president and VP can't be together anyway, right?
No, exactly.
So I'll go down to the Baja then. As long as I can keep having my Baja winters of surfing, we got no problem.
Well, I've heard a lot of presidents want their, like George Washington had John Adams, they want their vice president to stay out of it.
Well, and I would. I'd be happy to stay out of it. You know, I'd just be there waiting in the wings to make sure nothing would happen to him.
Okay, so officially you're saying you would take a VP spot with Ron Paul.
I would give it very serious consideration. I can't tell you right now I would because my wife is not sitting next to me.
Well, I'll tell you, Terry.
No, anything I would do of that nature, I would require to have to talk to her first. Because we've been married 36 years now, and I don't do much of anything without consulting her.
Sure, sure. But if your other half, but if your better half said green light, then you're go.
There'd be a damn good chance of it.
Wow, that is breaking news, Governor. I guarantee you this is going to end up being in the news today. Well, amazing. We've only got about a minute and a half left. I hope folks get the books. Briefly, tell us about when the TV show's coming back and about new books in the wings.
Well, Dick and I are working on another book that hopefully will be out right before the elections because it'll be a timely book dealing with the elections. And the TV show, we're in the middle of production, as I said, right now. Unfortunately, we had this tragedy happen a couple days ago, which we're looking into, of course, and we will probably cover it with the TV show because it was part of it. And when we go on the air, I'm not really sure. I'm estimating that we'll be, I'm officially to be done by December, the first part of December, the very first couple days of December. And so I would figure editing, I just with a ballpark guess, I would say the 8 episodes will probably start in January, but don't quote me, because that's the network's call, not mine. And they could start them sooner, they could start them later. I'm not privy to that information, but there will be 8 more shows.
Very exciting. Governor, we're out of time.
Okay.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Wow. While Jesse was talking, there's so much important stuff he talked about. Would support a national boycott of the NFL. You write all this down. That's a newsmaker. NFL. If it continues, if they do the groping, he's going to boycott them. Calls for a boycott. He also, of course, said he thinks it's suspicious with the SEALs. Suspicious with the SEALs. Of course, the biggest news there, I'm multitasking here. I'm about to give my writers articles to write about that big interview you just heard. NFL, suspicious of the SEALs' deaths. And of course, the big one, would run as the VP with Ron Paul. And challenges Ron Paul to quit the Republican Party. We need to get Ron Paul. Obviously, he can't commit publicly to this right now, or they'll say, you're not even really a Republican. Get out of here. But if he doesn't win that nomination in the next 4 months or so, because that's when we'll know in the caucuses, about 4 months from now, we'll really have a clear image. And then he can turn Campaign for Liberty on in all 50 states. And he will absolutely have a much bigger organization than Ross Perot and has a good chance of winning. Then he'll get the death threats, though, and the question is, what will he do when that happens? Ross Perot, they called it Ross Perot, said, we're going to kill your family. That was on the news. People always wonder, why'd Ross Perot quit? He said, my family was threatened. And I lived in Dallas then. It came out in Dallas. They said, we're going to kill you. We're going to kill your wife and kids. But when that happens, you just come out and then it was like, well, he's so crazy for saying that. Of course they said that. Of course they did when he had 30-something percentage of the vote in a three-way race. As soon as he got even with Bush and Clinton, man, it was over. Wow, that was a big interview right there. Okay, here's the deal. I got economy, politics, world news. We got InfoWars Nightly News coming up this evening. I want to take your phone calls. I'm going to take a lot of them. That means probably three in the whole hour. No, we're going to take your calls in a smattering of news this hour. Please have your question and comment ready because we're going to go at warp speed, which means tortoise speed for me. 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231. And we will get you up and on the air. I tell you, the greatest part about doing this radio show is fighting corruption and standing up for goodness and resonating with so many good men and women who have spirits that love liberty and goodness around the world. And getting to know people like Jesse Ventura, Ron Paul, Dave Mustaine, Willie Nelson, and the list goes on and on. Charlie Sheen has his problems, but he's a real guy, a great guy. The problem is, though, about 90% of the famous people I know and who are listeners of the show do not want it said they're listeners. And if I could only tell you, who else are patriots out there? Basically, pick a famous name. I mean, I've heard from most of them. It's ridiculous how hot liberty is. And I'm not the best at this radio show. I'm just a regular guy. But I'm the biggest thing there is out there. And so I'm the one that gets reached out to. They feel like they've got to knock on wood or something. And I'm the wood they knock on. Or they want to just reach out and say, like what you're doing, agree with you. And it's great, but I'm not bragging, hey, I know a lot of famous people, or hey, I'm saying like a sonar ping, you aren't a public figure. Most of you aren't. So you don't know. You feel like you're alone. But I can go to Los Angeles. I can go to Canada. I can go to Hot Springs, Arkansas. I can go to Honduras. I can go to Mexico. And I can't even walk down a street now without cars stopping. I mean, it's big. Liberty is big. Freedom is popular. And I'm just telling you, the last domino to fall is that we still feel like we're alone and powerless. No, ladies and gentlemen, freedom is on fire right now.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, we are live here, ladies and gentlemen. It is the third and final hour today, but we won't be done then. I'll be back tonight, 7 o'clock, InfoWars Nightly News. We have a big blind spot on this show that I've warned everybody about, that I try to stay conscious of, and it's this. I don't have follow-through in one key area that I should. I have doggedness. I'm badger-like. I keep on coming. I'm hard-headed. That's the main attribute for liberty. I know you as Americans and many others around the world, you know, also cherish that attribute. But I have a tendency not to toot our horn. I have a bad tendency not to toot our horn. And it's important to do that. That's why a few weeks ago I launched a contest and never really gave a date on it. And I've got to go see what entries have come in. I know a bunch are coming in for clipping together clips of the show the last few years of our predictions coming true. And first place is $3,000, second place $1,500, third place $500. Because nothing wakes people up, I've seen, like us laying it out and then it coming out mainstream news later. Again, it's not, hey, I go all over the country and people know who I am now and support us. That's not, ooh, look, I'm a big shot. It's actually really gives up your privacy. It's, hey, people are waking up. This, you know, this show is popular. That's an illustration of that. Well, it's the same thing when it comes to pointing out that, see, we told you so. And that goes for you, the listeners, as well. How many of you told your wife, your husband, your neighbor, your boss, your employees, your grandmother, your son, your daughter, whoever it is, your pastor, or as a pastor, you told your flock, you told them what was coming, you told them what was happening, they laughed at you, and now all this stuff has come true. It's all happened and then some, exactly as we said it would, because we were reading globalist documents. We were just going off what they said they would do as global engineers, global social and economic engineers for this world government system. Now, our credibility's gone way up. Liberty and freedom and understanding the global corporate crony system is very popular. I see it on CNN, Fox, Rush Limbaugh, Glenn Beck, everywhere now. I tune into random radio shows, liberal conservatives, rock and roll shows. They're talking about the crony capitalist and the insider fat cats having one set of rules for us, another set of rules for them. People are really getting it. And now it's important to go, hey, Ron Paul talked about this stuff 20 years ago. Alex Jones talked about this stuff 16 years ago. G. Edward Griffin talked about this 45 years ago. Bob Chapman 50 years ago. Hey, have you seen this book? Have you seen this video? Because it's all that old stuff now that is the most important. Now, I got callers listening on XM, on the Roku box, on AM and FM affiliates. We're going to get to Madison, Peter, Scott, Bill, Norm, and others here in just a moment. But I've got to go over this because the establishment bleeding out encrusted, diseased, discredited joke media is very dangerous right now. They are flailing around in their death throes and can take us down with them right now. We have got to sit back when they call us names and laugh at us and go, you're doing that as a confidence game. You're pathetic. You're falling apart. And call them on their scams and be more bold now than ever. A lot of us have kind of started resting like, okay, people are finally listening. No. This is not the time to do that. This is the time to come out and stop being apologetic to your neighbors. Well, I know it sounds kooky, but there's a global government. It's not kooky that elites want total power. That's history. It's now time to say, hey, we told you so. Look, it came true. We warned you, and there's not time to screw around. We told you the house was on fire when the grease pan exploded and there was just some smoke in the kitchen. We tried to put it out. Now it's spread into the dining room, the living room, the bedroom. There's flames coming out the windows. You're not going to save this thing. You got to get out of it and try to rebuild it. Now there's fire shooting out everywhere, and we're like, we told you there's fire, and they're still going, are you sure that orange stuff that's hot and that smoke is tyranny? I'm not sure. And you're like, well, just forget these people that don't care, don't want to listen. We can't do that. They're lemmings that'll run us off the cliff with them that the globalists are going to be able to misdirect if we don't reach out to them now. It's just that simple. And for all of you that serve the system, as what we've talked about becomes self-evident, and as it's proven that we were right and that we were willing to be criticized in the face of all your propaganda and demonization, including law enforcement harassment, as it becomes evident that we're right, a lot of you aren't waking up and joining Liberty. You're deciding to further dig in and make excuses and go along with corruption. Do you like where corruption's taking us? The country falling apart, the world falling apart, crime exploding, insecure future? I mean, do you like that? Do you like the wages of this corruption? Do you like the fruit of this tree? I mean, I'm going to ask you, do you like where it's taking us? Come on in. It's warm in here. Join us. You know you want to. Don't be afraid of Big Brother and the tyrants. That's what's fun, is to put yourself in danger, because you were already in danger. If we're going to die, then we're going to die. If we're going to die, then die with our boots on. In fact, I want to come back in. You can probably find it on YouTube, or we may even have it in there in our music selection. I want Iron Maiden, Die With Your Boots On. I want to come back in with that. I'm about to go to your calls. My point on this issue is that you're not alive till you're living true, and being honorable doesn't mean you're perfect, but you're not living like a coward. Like Kurt Haskell, I said, you know, you've got this info and you're exposing they staged that attack. They may kill you. And he said, well, they can only kill me once. Whatever, fine. I don't want to die, but that's the way it is. And it's just that giving in to it, giving in to being a man, giving in to being a woman, giving in to who you already were. You have to have cowardice and fear superimposed on you in life. You have to learn to be a coward. You don't have to learn how to be brave. You're standing on the shoulders of your ancestors. They weren't wimps. Cowardice is a fraud and a lie, and it doesn't get you out of trouble. Cowardice brings the wolves. You ought to be afraid of being a coward. I've always said this, and people don't seem to get it. I am not trying to scare you with this show. I believe in you. I believe you have courage. I believe when you hear how bad things are, you're going to get angry and do something about it. I believe in you. People like, well, give us every answer, like coloring with, you know, by the numbers. You know, my kids love those. Or stained glass by the numbers or whatever. I don't have all the answers. I believe in you. I know every time I start fighting corruption and don't stop, we win. I know how powerful humans are, made in the image of the Creator. I suggest we use that power. The globalists know how powerful you are. That's why they jack your water and your food. You're powerful. They don't like you. They realize a small group of conspirators took over the world. They realize we're a lot more than them. And we can take this world back. Now, what made me go on this rant? Then I'm going to your calls. What made me go on this rant? I saw this yesterday. I covered it on the nightly news. And then I didn't even cover it today in 2 hours. AP, Reuters, Fox News, they all covered it. Here's Fox News, Fox Nation. This didn't even go on the main Fox site. It went on their little Tea Party site, their little InfoWars ripoff. Taxpayers paid for Fast and Furious. And it tells us what we already knew from federal filings in Arizona and Illinois, that the government actually sold the guns, in one case, 2,000 of them to Sinaloa drug cartel. Now, last night on the show, I showed you the El Paso Times, UPI, and others, where it was known months ago. And, of course, we knew even before that from the filings. Prison Planet did break this. Just from the federal filings. Listeners broke it. They found it and sent it to us. Listeners broke it, but we broke it in the media, again, showing how you are the power. People always ask, why aren't you covering this? Because I didn't know till you told me. I also get emails and comments why I'm not covering the Wall Street thing. I've covered it every day for a week and a half with guests on many times, and it's still going on. The arrests are still going on, and it's folks, it's great what they're doing. They're protesting. Now, what Fox doesn't tell you, you'd think Fox would want to bring down Obama. No, it's all about a balance of power in the elite. Is that Sinaloa also confirmed in federal court, and the feds admitted it, is allowed to ship in for 5 years hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of tons of pure cocaine through Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, and California. Sinaloa is on the border and teamed up with the bankers, and is fighting a war with other cartels that are bringing the drugs up and have to go through Sinaloa territory, and that our government, which is the big foreign banks, the criminals, are laundering that money publicly and having the ATF ship guns to Sinaloa to try to win their war against the other cartels that aren't laundering their money through Wachovia, Wells Fargo, and others, who've all been caught on record hundreds of billions in laundered money. If you're a new listener, just Google that. You can read it. It's $376 billion. In 2 years alone, 2.5 years. That's Bloomberg, AP, Reuters as well. So you're not getting the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. And that is the rest of the story. Good day, Paul Harvey. the rest of the story, good day, I'd have to hear him to get the imitation right, is that they're not just allowing the guns to be shipped in and actually having taxpayer money pay for it. In one office, the ATF had said, we're almost in fistfights with agents saying, I'm not going to be part of this, and saying, we've been ordered by the White House to do this. And the White House has perjured themselves. So my point is, we need to come out and toot our horn here that we were right about this. We told you about this 8-9 months ago with precision, and now it's come out, and the Republicans aren't even making this a campaign issue to destroy Barack the criminal Obama. We need to use this issue. If you're gonna die, die with your boots on, not licking boots. All right, we're back live. I want to go to XM listener Norm, and then Roku Box, Madison, and many others. Let's go. I see somebody disagreeing, but I'm going to get to them. I want to go to folks in order right now. I usually go to folks that disagree first, but it's almost like that's all we ever go to is calls that disagree now, because I only go to the ones that are up front. I'll get to Scott in a minute. I want to talk to somebody listening on a Roku Box, though. Everything's moving to that. It's like your internet on your TV. That's how my wife watches TV now. We're going to just stomp the enemy in that format because it's a level playing field. Bye-bye, dinosaur media. Look what we do on the web. Total domination. Glenn Beck, everybody, we dominate them. Let's go ahead and talk to Norm in Nevada on XM 166. I thought it was on another XM channel. I can't keep track of it. Welcome, Norm.
Alex, how you doing today?
Good. Thanks for holding, brother. What's on your mind?
Hey, Big Daddy, I was listening to you and Jesse, and I have a comment. I think you guys are right. I think we need to boycott the NFL. We need to boycott flying. Set a date for that. Definitely, like, July 4th sounds really good of next year. The other thing is, too, back to the SEALs. I just have a quick comment on that and what you take on this. After the SEALs went down, evidently, on their Bin Laden raid, about, I want to say 3 or 4 weeks after that, or 2 to 3 weeks after that, they had a bunch of SEALs go down in Afghanistan.
No, I mean, I've talked to the father of a Navy SEAL whom I'm not going to get into it. We've known a long time. Okay, I'll just leave it at that. And his son is in, I think he said SEAL Team 3, but he has a friend, best buddy in 6, who said that they said standard operating procedure wasn't followed. He was the whole thing on multiple fronts, and that they believe it was a setup. And then he was like, yeah, they think Al-Qaeda, like, somehow has got a mole and ordered him and put a bomb on him. Like, yeah, Al-Qaeda's got a mole. Yeah, right. The point is, they just can't bring themselves to understand the government did it. But, yes, the SEALs think there was foul play.
Yeah, my other point was on that other chopper that went down in Afghanistan, it was more of a cover-up when in the Bin Laden thing. But they really didn't give names or nothing like that or anything to anybody about who went down, what their, status was and all that.
Well, that's what I initially thought was we knew some SEALs got killed in the helicopter that blew up in the fake Bin Laden raid. So I was thinking that might have been it. But then I talked to my sources and they said, no, it was the rest of SEAL Team 6 that was complaining and stuff, and they blew them up. So, I mean, this is directly from the father of a Navy SEAL. And I'm just going to say the family knows the Navy SEAL as well. In fact, I'm going to just shut up there because my family doesn't like me talking about him. But anything else, sir?
Well, hey, wouldn't that be great if Jesse runs with Paul?
Yeah, that's a really good team. I mean, there's going to be some issues because Jesse's kind of liberal on a few things, but he's being educated. Jesse's really smart and a great guy. You wouldn't believe the things I've convinced him of and shown to him. So he's just gets better by the day. He's really waking up. He's going through this metamorphosis of having to, look at all this information. I appreciate your call. Good to hear from you. Let's talk to a Roku Box listener, Madison in Wisconsin. There's a Madison in Wisconsin as well. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Alex. I just wanted to, I'm going to be as concise as possible. I sent out just today $500 for one check and $200 for another check to go to the very nice gals in your business office. I had spoken with them in the past, and I'm going to, let's see, $500 will get me about 84 memberships times six. That's about 504 people I can turn on. The other $200 I'm going to send out to some listeners or potential listeners in other northern
states. Let me say this, and I'm going to hold you over, Madison, so you can finish up. The check's in the mail, by the way. We do get donations. We do get people buying bulk videos, books. This is a big machine now. For me, it's big. 35 employees or so, some contractors, equipment, bandwidth. It's costing us $4 million a year to operate. $4 million a year. We're a big operation now. People ask me sometimes, is this your day job? Yeah, it's my day job. Stay there.
Today is going to be the day that they're going to throw it back to you. By now, you should have somehow realized what you got to do.
Okay, let's race through these phone calls because I've got the Obama Antichrist thing I want to get to. Iran says it can deploy Navy near U.S. coast. Oh, that's a really good idea, Iran. That's the thing. People aren't cowards, folks. And the Iranians are ready to get in a fight, which is insane. But I guess they're tired of their government being overthrown twice and everything. But this is just getting insane. I'm gonna get into that. I just don't want war. It's nuclear weapons. I'd rather live in peace. But just incredible. Finishing up with Madison in Wisconsin. You were talking about buying in bulk. We need to get a feature to do that where you can buy friends and family bulk memberships to prisonplanet.tv and then send it to them. It's kind of an e-card, and say, hey, here's your username and passcode, and just kind of make one up for them and then tell them, hey, this is some alternative information you might check out. And a lot of people are doing that. We got a bunch of new features that are about to be added to prisonplanet.tv. You've already seen a lot of the new ones that have been added in the last month. But finish your point, Madison.
Actually, it was several points, if I may, but I remember back when I was a part of a meetup group, an impeach Bush group, and then I stumbled onto Loose Change 9/11. That opened up a world for me, and some people in the when they're in their mother's womb, their parents have them listen to classical music. Well, I like to say that I was listening to the tick of the 60-minute stopwatch, which used to be actually a viable news source. And I just want to revisit some of the really positive feelings, like chasing Kissinger up the hill at Bilderberg. Alfred Abbas that you had on recently, he was just fantastic. And the goosebumps, the positive goosebumps that you talk about, not just the negative ones, what a force, you know. I mean, we as listeners really love to hear that. And so I really need to get all my NPR listening friends here in Madison. I have a business with 45 employees, so I can somewhat sympathize with all of the challenges that you have. And I would love to be a partner in Austin North, as we sometimes call it, kind of a sister city.
Sure, sure. I'm just, again, we've got a lot of big plans, a lot of things we'd like to do. The issue is we're just trying to get our basic operation up to the next level, and things sound like they're easy and quick to do, but complex things are complex by their very nature. But I appreciate your call. God bless you, my friend. I've got to just read this report before I go back to your calls. This is out of the West Australian News, thewest.com. It's up at Infowars.com. It's also the top story at the Drudge Report, drudgereport.com. Iran threatens warships to U.S. Iran raised the prospect on Tuesday of sending military ships close to the United States Atlantic coast in what would be a major escalation of tensions between the longstanding adversaries. And again, this is a provocation. But then you read why Iran's doing it. Like the arrogant powers that are present near our marine borders and have even tried to stage attacks on their ships, on U.S. ships, to blame it on Iran. Remember that came out with Cheney 2 years ago. Like the arrogant powers that are present near our marine borders, we will also have a powerful presence close to the American marine borders. The head of the Navy, Rear Admiral Habatollah Syria, said, I know I'm butchering that, according to the official Iranian news agency. Speaking at a ceremony marking the 31st anniversary of the start of the 1980-88 war with Iraq, he gave no details of when such a deployment could happen or the number of type of vessels to be used. They've got some pretty big destroyers and battleships. And obviously, the American people are starting to wake up, but not to this level. Very tribal, very, you know, red, white, and blue. So you could wrap cyanide pills in it and people would eat them. The irony is going to be lost to the American people that there's U.S. warships and NATO stuff all around them, constantly boarding Iranian ships, constantly in their face. And so Iran's like, okay, we'll send warships over to you. No, that's terrible. Our media, our so-called media, whenever a government fires back, like when Libya was firing back at NATO aircraft, they were like, how dare they fire back because we bombed them. I mean, the news was actually, how dare they fire anti-aircraft into the sky? This is terrorism. This is aggressive. It's like a guy walks up in a restaurant, says, excuse me, breaks your nose. You get up and say, all right, let's fight. And you're like, I can't believe you're putting your fist up. Call the police. The cops get there and you're like, sir, I just walked over and broke his nose. And then he put his fist up. All right. And the cops were like, that's terrorism. I agree. Let's take you to jail. Look at this. Human skin embedded with spider silk could stop a bullet, Raw Stories reporting. That's in News of the Weird. Yeah, for more than 15 years, they've had cross spider, cross goat creatures that produce body armor for special forces. That's semi-classified body armor, but it's amazing. The bullets just bounce off, reportedly. Reverse. Government motors won't track motorists who cancel OnStar. That's an announcement by OnStar. That's not true. I told you years ago. They've always tracked you. This goes back years. Incredible. It just came out again. I remember 2 years ago, TomTom got caught tracking people and selling it. And then they said they wouldn't do it anymore. In fact, call Dew in here, because Dew was bringing me TomTom news yesterday, going, look, they're back in the news, the TomTom GPS, selling your data. And I said, but that's 2 years old. And I went and showed him. I said, it was new, though. They were back. And then I said, no, let's not go with that. Because I was thinking, well, we've already reported that. So what if the mainstream media is reporting it now? But the angle is, I just remembered it. Come on in, bro. I've got the angle on TomTom. It was a year and a half ago, Rob, you know, for the Nightly News tonight. It was a year and a half ago. We can even show a nice camera shot of Dew in here. He's a great American. Helped us run the nighttime show. In fact, tonight we're going to have you as a guest on the show talking about how your lawsuit against Pittsburgh police. So, in fact, I want you to talk about that briefly since you're in here. But you were wanting to do TomTom tonight, yesterday, and I was like, you know, to tie it into OnStar.
Right.
And I said, well, that's a year and a half, 2 years old. But now I understand the angle to show people. TomTom got caught a year and a half ago or 2 years ago doing that, selling the data.
Mm-hmm.
You can pull that up. Then they apologized and said they'd stop. And then it's back in the news yesterday and today that they're doing it again.
Right.
Now, why do we do that? We illustrate this playing possum, that first they get caught, then they say they're not, then it turns out they are. And we'll show that that's what's going on with OnStar as well. Because OnStar has now reversed themselves and said, we're not going to do this now.
Yeah.
They've always been doing it.
Right. I think it's built into their technology. Otherwise, they wouldn't give that technology to the public. I think that's just built in. Seems like every little system they build has a little spy function in it, no matter what. Like the cell phones.
Well, no, by law, they listen to you. And I told people 15, 16 years ago, I said, the Federal Communications, Telecommunications Act says by law they got to be able to turn it on remotely and listen to you. And people are like, oh, shut up. And then a decade later, it's like, your phone's listening to you. It's good. Keeps you safe from Al-Qaeda.
Yeah, it's called Roving Bug, if you want to search that out there. Roving Bug. And the police in New York were doing it to track mobsters.
Yeah, right. Yeah. These people not laundering the money through them. Now, listen briefly, because tonight I'm going to have you in as a guest. You are with Stuart Rhodes of Oath Keepers suing. Du is suing the Pittsburgh police. We're not litigious here. I had to defend Du in court until they dropped the charges. I had to defend Aaron at great expense for being arrested for asking a question of Karl Rove. That went on. That was like $4,000. But they dropped the stuff on Du. We have the whole footage. He's outside the court. Them arresting people at a university. You're not allowed to even eat outside at night. They come up the hill to Du where he's videotaping, let the other mainstream media go,
yeah,
arrest Du. You were with Luke. They were stripping people down naked, had bags over people's heads, sat you out in the rain all night, and it was, you know, near freezing. And so you are suing him. It was actually a pretty positive article in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette and other places because journalists like to stick together. Mm-hmm. That's one of the few areas you still see some common decency occasionally in the mainstream corporate horror media. But briefly, tell folks about your lawsuit.
Well, we're filing a lawsuit myself. I'm filing a lawsuit. Stuart Rhodes is my attorney. And, you know, basically for the fact that they detained me, you know, pushed me around. I was in handcuffs for 12 hours. I was kept outside in the rain.
But you do have long hair. I guess
that's the excuse.
Fur coat.
Yeah, well, not really. Maybe kept my ears warm. But
Chewbacca.
I tell you what, the probably the scariest part was when they had put the plastic cuffs on me. I was kneeling down, and I was looking over, and they were just walking by to these kids and spraying mace in their face. And these kids were on the ground, hands behind their back, and they're just spraying each one in the face, walking up. Kids weren't doing it, and a lot of these were little college kids.
And you described like the cop commander with the military, and you were at this base, and they were just looked like psychopaths running around.
Yeah, these guys, they were wearing cert on their uniforms, and they had their helmets and their, you know, their pads.
You got,
you know,
footage of like women on bikes. They'd run over with full power and grunt, and like hit them with a billy club. You can kill somebody like that.
That actually, Burma shot that.
I mean, you can kill people with your bare hands easy.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, the girl's laying down, the cop's right on top of her, and I think Burmis is yelling, just remember, she's a girl, guys, come on, you know? And she wasn't doing anything. She was just trying to get out of the way, and that's what everybody
But I mean, that is the end, that is total tyranny to have just, they couldn't find anybody. They said nobody on the streets day or night. They would just randomly go attack kids with footballs in their front yards. They're old ladies coming out of stores with bags. They would release police dogs on them. I mean, it was a psycho police riot, and
When I got arrested, it was after the G20 was over. It had been over for about, you know, the whole day.
Exactly, but they would just ride around in neighborhoods saying no one's allowed on the streets.
Right.
And then it was after, and all the cops were there and wanted to bust some heads, so they went to the university.
Yeah.
And we've got the footage. It wasn't even protesters, just people outside at like 9 at night eating hamburgers. And here come cops. They kettle everybody, and then just, and women are on bikes going, and the cops literally, the cowardice of a guy wanting to run up to a woman and crack a billy club over their head.
Yeah, no.
And then women falling off crying, and the cops are having like weird satanic orgasms.
Well, and now you got the cops doing that in New York. I've been watching that video of you know, attacking, surrounding women with these orange nets and then spraying them in the face with mace. And these are women. They're not, they're,
well, that's
not
like,
it's ridiculous.
That was like the first thing where the Delta Force staged the whole event. That was even in the mainstream news at the time, 1999, Seattle. They went into neighborhoods and would, like, pull families over in cars and just pepper spray them. It's on video. It's in my film, Police State 2, The Takeover. I mean, again, they're trying to hire cops now who want to beat you and your wife.
And why don't the cops realize that they're next on the list? Once they do the bidding, they're going to get turned on by the next group of psychopaths that come along. And they need to realize, and they need to wake up, and they need to start, you know, siding with the protesters, because we're all in this together.
Yeah, but in your case, you were at the university.
Oh, yeah. And I was covering the event. I was not protesting. I've got plenty of footage. I am not saying a word other than, you know, people are asking me who I worked for and whatnot. And, you know,
and you're up on a hill. You're out of it all.
Oh, yeah. Well, by that time, I'd gone up the hill. But I was covering, there was some
stuff. And they march up to you.
Oh, yeah. They had cordoned off the area. And then somebody released on the internet of the scanners. And they're calling out military maneuvers. They're blocking people in. You know, they're like, hold right here till we get the guys up on top of the hill.
Yeah, they're like, now disperse. They won't let you leave.
Exactly.
Because they're like, yeah, we're going to beat some hippies. Oh, why don't you guys go join a gym? You know, go join some martial arts thing and go fight men if you're so tough.
Yeah.
I mean, I just running up to women on bicycles and grunting with hatred. You know, you're going to start, when you kill people's family members and hurt them, you're going to have people, I mean, you know, there's justice in this universe. I mean, I got to tell you, folks, I'm not a tough guy, and repeatedly I got in fistfights, and you know, would be in court and stuff with some guy, you know, in a coma for 6 weeks and had to go through all this crap. And so I know what fists and clubs can do to people. And these guys are hitting people with clubs full power in the head. I mean, you kill people that way.
They hit Luke that night. They hit. He was trying to leave, and they started hitting him, and that's how he ended up getting into the spot where I was. And I shot a brief interview with him right before I got detained, arrested. I don't know what to call it because they never charged me with anything that night. So it was just, you know, I'm at a loss still how they could get away with that with all those people out there. After the G20, it wasn't even anywhere near that location where the G20 was, and it really changed my attitudes on police. And it's a night that changed my life because I had to sit up all night. They wouldn't let you fall asleep. They brought us outside. It was cold and rainy.
And they had people with bags on their heads.
Oh, yeah. They brought one guy in. They had four guys on him, and he was literally hyperventilating as they brought him in. I mean, he sounded very stressed out. A skinny little dude. Like, I could have probably picked the guy up with one hand. And they're dragging him in. They have a bag over his head. They put him in a cell. And I'm not sure if if he was naked or whatnot after that, but they put a camera on him, and they had a cop right outside the door watching him the whole time. Like, this guy was some, you know, he was nothing but a, you know.
Well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They were there protecting the banker lords.
Sure.
Remember the footage of guys in uniforms grabbing peaceful protesters and snatching and grabbing?
Yeah.
And then we got contacted by the G20, and they said, that is not U.S. Army. That is our personnel. Yeah, to correct personnel. Us that it wasn't Army. So they had private people kidnapping folks. Dude, we'll talk more about it tonight. Good all job. Right.
See you tonight at 7.
Thank you, buddy boy. He lived in Switzerland for a while. The guy would go, hello, buddy boy. So that's his name around here is buddy boy. Let me bring up the Comrex system here. Let's go to Scott in Washington who disagrees. Go ahead, Scotty.
Yeah. What I wanted to bring up this point, and I also have a suggestion actually for Jesse, was if he was suggesting that Ron Paul should quit right now during these primaries.
No, he should do it after. Yeah, I brought that up. Ventura agreed with me. Quit after.
Yeah, because one problem is, and we know he's already having a problem getting time in these debates. The other thing that I would correct him in is that the Libertarian, when he says that they have ballot access in all 50 states, that's not guaranteed. They claimed the last time that they had ballot access in 48 states, and they only ended up being on the ballot in 41 states. Down there in your own home state, down there in Texas, this was when Bob Barr, and I am no fan of him, tried to sue to get on that ballot access down there. They threw that case out of there, and McCain and Obama should not even have been on the ballot access there because they missed the deadline to announce their...
I know. Let me just be clear. Ron Paul could win, and it's starting to look like he may if the two top guys get knocked off, which is starting to happen because they have such political baggage. If we just use it, it's over for him. But Ron Paul wins if he goes third party after he loses the primary, if that was to happen, to just be in there shaking it up. That will get so much energy. And it will absolutely put real issues front and center and will totally expose whatever Republican whore gets in there, you know, with the Republican nomination and Obama and the Obamanoids, the Obamanauts, whatever you call them, the Obama zombies, the Obamanoids, whatever you want to call them. And so it's win, win, win. I mean, don't you agree that if Paul gets cheated out of the primary, he should go third party just for the circus?
I'm not saying that he shouldn't do that. If it were up to me, I would eliminate the party system altogether and just run on issues. But, you know, I'm just saying that, you know, you have to realize what you're going to be in.
I hear you. Is that what you disagree with?
Well, yeah, and then I wanted to make a quick suggestion for Jesse that if he wanted to consider being his running mate, there's no law that says that the two would have to be of the same party. He could still run as an independent if he wanted to.
And then later be picked to be his vice president. Another great point. What if I say I'm not like the others? What if I say I'm not just another one of your planes? You're the pretender. What if I say that's right, the system of the pretenders. What if I say I'll never surrender? All right, Chris Christie has said again he's a no-go. Poll shows Kane on top of Perry. Perry is plummeting in all polls as folks learn that the guy literally is basically like Bill Clinton. I mean, he is a piece of work. Also, Paul trails Obama by just 4 points. And I've seen some polls where Ron Paul beats Obama. But Ron Paul has the best showing in every poll against Obama. He can beat him. But Perry is just plunging right now. You know, they're saying that Ron Paul can't win. That's because they know he will win if we get behind him. But he wins by fighting back and getting the word out regardless. So if he loses, I don't want to hear a bunch of whining about, I gave money, I didn't do anything. Rome wasn't built in a day. We're not going to pull this New World Order down in a day either. The Republic wasn't built in a day. All right, I'm going to go into overdrive a little bit and get to all these callers that are holding, but I wanted to go to Ted Anderson briefly, drug him in here to give us an update. Ted, gold and silver are starting to rebound some. We know they've called the margins, cut them to where basically killing all speculation in Europe, Asia, and here. France has announced that they want to basically ban and track the sales of gold, $600 and above. So they're definitely trying to send down gold and silver, but as they devalue currencies, market fundamentals say it's only going to go up in the long run. We've seen these major forced corrections before. What do we see happening with gold and silver right now, Ted?
Well, you know, silver hit a high today of 33.02, opened up its low at 32.15, currently at 32.25, up $1.40. Gold is up $21.70. Alex, they're trying, like I said yesterday, they're throwing everything, including the kitchen sink, at precious metals to try to keep it down. These margin requirements in the futures market is just one thing. But here's what happened yesterday. The demand for jewelry in India just shot up like crazy. I mean, I wasn't in India, but I was in Singapore, and I seen what it looked like in those shops, and these people are standing in line trying to buy gold chains because they could see what's going on. The United States is no different. Here at Midas, we had lots of people calling wanting to buy gold and silver at this better price. And that's, you know, it's just because of the fact that people know that the United States is going down, that Europe is going down, that Asia is in no better shape, and this whole house of cards is all being propped up by, what, they're going to legislate that we can't sell gold and silver now? Confiscation, is that what they're looking at? I mean, the people know that the governments at hand are trying to force people into this funny paper money, and it's just a bad solution for anybody, and they want to get out of it. So, yeah, there's a lot of demand for gold and silver. Gold being up today, silver being up today is a testimonial to that. Couple things. I mean, I held that your book in the video offer that we're doing for $78 delivered. Still the same price as yesterday. Silver's up, you know. It was $27 yesterday. Right now, $32.25.
No, there's no doubt, Ted, and you've told me last night and this morning, unlike other forced corrections, people have pretty much figured out the pattern now. Correct me if I'm wrong. You're saying you're seeing record purchasing in a dip, which is the old stock maxim of advice on Wall Street, buy low, sell high. You're saying you're actually seeing people finally come in and use this as a brisk time to purchase.
Can tell you right now, Alex, our activity increased by about tenfold from the last couple of weeks to now.
Wow. So, but that's never happened before, Ted.
No. Usually when the market is going down, it gets quiet. You can hear a pin drop around this office, but not now. People are looking at the headline news. They're seeing that things are melting apart. I mean, Germany is talking about not bailing out, Greece. I mean, this is what's
incredible.
Going on.
Ted, 800-686-2237. Give the Midas Resources team a call. If the phone's busy, leave your name and number, because the phones are on fire. I was busy a few weeks ago. I can't imagine tenfold. 800-686-2237. By the way, we have a poll that Ron Paul is beating. Okay, we're in a little five-minute overdrive, kind of like the reserve on the tank. Be able to go to a few final calls. I just want to add, this is a new article up on Infowars.com in the featured news section. Harris poll, Ron Paul would beat Obama, 51-49. Drudge Report has another one saying that Ron Paul's only a few points behind Obama. And Drudge is linked, by the way. And I guess I didn't notice this earlier. Did you guys notice the red link we had on Drudge Report today? I didn't even get to this. I mentioned this at the start of the show, and I didn't even cover this today. I totally forgot about this. Patrons mistake ice cream shop mascot for KKK. Well, they have this here in Austin with ice cream shops. It's a guy with a cone body of a sugar cone with some vanilla ice cream and sprinkles on top. And the White House admits their strategy is race war. By that, the White House says their strategy is going to be racial. They've admitted that, which will lead to a possible race war. They didn't say race war. I had a Freudian slip. Their policy behind the scenes is race war, but they're pushing racial tension. But AP labeled racist for accurately transcribing Obama's speech. And this is a Paul Watson article. MSNBC is obsessed with playing the race card. And we got the big Drudge love up there, up at Infowars.com. But if you go to Drudge, you know, I was looking at Drudge throughout the day along with Infowars.com. I never saw that red link. Is that new? MSNBC labels AP inherently racist for accurate translation of Obama's speech. Did you guys see that earlier today? Or did that just... It's probably new because I was reading that Ron Paul stuff. Anyways, going back to what he's got there. It's got the Paul trails Obama in by just 4 points. That's LA Times. That's the way they... I got a poll where he's ahead. Side issue. I said I'd go to Overdrive to take calls and it doesn't look like that's going to happen. I'm out of control. Let's go to Bill in Connecticut. Bill, thanks for holding.
Yeah, hi, Alex. How you doing?
Good. Thank you.
I just have 3 quick points I'd like to make. The first is Ron Paul in these debates. What's happening is they're asking him questions that are basically impertinent. They have nothing to do with anything. And so what I'd like him to do, if he's possibly listening, is to bring up a couple of key points. One, that the Federal Reserve, a private corporation, has been unconstitutionally charging.
Yeah, no, he's such a gentleman. He needs to get on the offensive. Number one, they give him the least amount of time. Well, now Gary Johnson gets even less, but he's next to last. And they just sit there and throw him baloney questions. I mean, the fix is in. That's all the endorsement you need. The whores don't like him. What does that tell the public?
Right, and he has to get control and go off point. He's got to go more renegade and address points that are really critical to our country.
Yes.
And the Federal Reserve is at the crux of all the criminality imposed upon us for the past 98 years, and that has to be brought out. The other thing I'd like him to do is to turn, and this point you brought up, is to turn to Governor Perry and saying, What were you doing at the Bilderberg, and what were you talking about there? And also point out to him that it's a violation of the Logan Law, and it's a felony.
Well, I think it's important. I don't want to barrage Ron Paul with stuff, but that's your opinion. I agree with your opinion. And as listeners, you have a right to let Ron Paul know what you think you should do. I'm not saying call Ron Paul with advice, because I know they're very busy. But I do know he listens to you, and so go out on the campaign trail. I think that's most important. You look where Ron Paul's coming next and be there to greet him and have a little printout. You know he's getting it. And if he hears it from 20 people on the street the next week, he will do that. And then that'll cause a whole new national debate, like with Gardasil, about what's Bilderberg. By the way, Perry admits he's gone there. We played a clip of that last night. We have got a power-packed transmission tonight, 7 o'clock, Central, InfoWars Nightly News. Great job to the crew. Great job to Genesis. Great job to you, the listeners. Now join us tonight, 7 o'clock. We'll see you back tomorrow live, 11 a.m.